Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Tuesday. We're thrilled that you're listening. If you want to reach us, why not dial us up at 312-981-7200?
That same number works for the text machine as well. Is it a text machine?
Yes. It's hooked up to the text machine, the phones, and the ticker tape machine, which is great if we're going to have a parade in the 1930s.
Well, we're going backwards in time anyway.
Right. We need to address something very, very quickly. I guess would this qualify? This is a special announcement, I believe. I think.
That is the worst stinger ever, by the way, Kevin.
It's the best I could find on short notice.
It's still going.
It's way too official for what we're about to say. Forget that I said it's a special announcement. It's just an announcement. If it was a special announcement, you would have been warned in advance. We were told yesterday at the end of the show that there's going to be a slight shift in the scheduling here at WGN Radio, and it takes place on Monday, March the 13th. So it will affect many of you who listen to us. We've been doing for a couple of years now a two-part show. We do part one, and then we take a nap, and then we do a second part. And during the nap, Steve comes in and does the Wintrust Business Lunch. All right. So as of
what
March,
are you saying? That was rude.
Wait, why?
Did we take a nap during his show?
No, I didn't mean it. I hope you didn't think that was rude, Steve. I just mean we work hard for 2 hours, and to recharge, we need to nap.
It's not like you're working against me somewhere.
No, I know. No, no.
Yet?
Not yet, yeah.
So as of March the 13th, John Williams, who was with the station from 1947 through 1956, is coming back. King John is coming back with his friends Millard Fillmore and Roosevelt.
TJ
Hooker, right?
He was cleared.
Is he cleared on that? All right, so he's coming back. So we will still do part one of the show here from 10 to noon. And then from noon to 1, we will be heard on ham radio, I believe, right?
Right.
Is that correct? I think that's right. So if you're a ham radio operator, you can enjoy the second half of the show from noon to 1. And then John is on after Steve's Wintrust Business Lunch from 1 to 3.
He's picked up our second half.
Yes. So that will all take place in a month and a half. So I think it's good.
We're getting a lot of condolence emails.
Yes.
And
flowers. People have sent flowers.
I didn't get flowers.
I got some flowers.
Damn.
Yeah. But there will be less of us on the show, but we'll still try to make what we're doing the same. There will just be less of it.
I think we should work harder to make it better.
Right. We should do that.
Wendy will have more time to cook dinner now because
that's why they're doing it.
Earlier this week, she didn't have time to cook.
That's the reason management.
Can I just say, be careful what you wish for, people? That's all I want to say.
Well, so several people have said to me, and you've been in on a couple of these conversations, you know, the future of radio is streaming. And I always nod my head because I don't know what that means. Because I always go, I think it is too, but I'm not sure what that means. But we'll find out soon.
Bill, you're going to be ahead of the curve for once.
Right. We'll be a trailblazer and a trendsetter.
For once, you heard
I meant in the electronics.
Right. I think he's right. You're right, Kevin.
So we do the show here from starting March 13th, which is a Monday.
It is a Monday.
Okay.
We do the show from our studio.
From 10 to noon.
And we go to Walgreens. And we do the ham radio hour from Walgreens, from the Notions department at Walgreens.
They have a Notions department?
I think it's the ham and Swiss from Walgreens.
It is.
Well, then we go upstairs and we'll be streaming on WGNplus.com.
Right.
So here's the thing with our show. We work when a lot of other people are at work. So a lot of people do listen to our show
via
the podcast.
Without a doubt.
And then my assumption is Kevin's going to have to do some editing, and he'll just tag that third hour onto the two we do in this studio, and then it'll be business as usual. People can download the whole 3 hours.
That's it, exactly.
We're just getting shaved an hour.
That's all. That's easy.
And when we started, it was 9 to noon, so...
Right.
You know,
we've
been...
3 hours then.
It's nice to know we could work every shift here. Isn't that kind of a good feeling?
Yes, it is.
I'm fine with that.
Yes, it is. And Kevin was pointing something out to me earlier that I didn't even think about. With that last hour, the ham radio hour, you can swear on there. You're allowed to swear.
Well, you can. First of all, you don't.
I won't, but
I don't
the doors
do that.
Are, you won't? All right.
I know a lot of people like a podcast because there is no FCC rules over it.
Right.
I podcasted with my husband for years.
No swearing?
No. I mean, an occasional S-bomb would come out, but if the big guns came out, I would beep it.
Oh, all right.
Because I just don't, I don't like to swear anywhere but home.
Oh, all right.
Makes you feel at home.
Yeah.
No big guns, Bill.
Mama's home. Hear that?
Blanking
cooking
right.
Dinner.
Blanking right.
Cooking effing dinner.
I'm going to start swearing in foreign languages. I've got a book of swear words in foreign languages, and I'm just going to throw those in, only in the last hour, because I know there's kids listening for the regular radio. But for ham radio, I'm just going to let it loose. Unbridled. No brides.
I can't wait. No brides.
No brides. All right.
It's not a bad thing.
I don't think so. And it will be. I mean, we tease John Williams, but John's a consummate professional. The guy, I mean, that guy knows radio inside out. He's great. So having him back in the fold is nothing but a plus.
I didn't realize he's been here since 1947.
Yeah, since 1947. Wow. During the Blitzkrieg. He broadcast that. Teddy Roosevelt.
That was Buddy Ryan's Blitzkrieg, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It was. All right. So
it's all good.
It will be. Yeah. It is. It really is. All right. So all that takes place on March the 13th.
In the meantime, you got us twice a day.
Yes. All right. A break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. I hope you enjoyed your one day of sunshine that we had yesterday.
It was just a nice reminder that in just 6 short months, it'll be sunny again. What's wrong with that? We can hold out a half a year, can't we, for some sun?
I love sun.
I saw you with a sun parasol. You don't see a lot of those anymore, but you were walking around town with a sun parasol.
Do you see people walking around with umbrellas? Because in the hot, sunny days, I have seen people just put an umbrella up. I guess it makes sense, but it looks crazy.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like it's from a simpler time. Not by today's standards, but I got them for everybody on my Christmas list this year. The
parasols?
Sun parasol. Yep, they're coming back.
Where do you get those?
Ryborty drugs. You know what I forgot to tell you? Judd Hirsch was in earlier. You missed Judd Hirsch?
I heard Judd Hirsch.
He was on with Steve Cochran because he's got a show coming out, Superior Donuts. And I got to meet him for just a couple of minutes out in the hall. And what a thrill that was.
Was he nice to you?
Yeah, he was really nice. An incredible amount of energy for a man who's 80 years old.
I can't believe he's 80.
He's 80 years old. He looks great. He sounds great. He had just all this enthusiasm, which is, I'm now getting to the age where when I see somebody who's a little bit older than I am, because he's 80, it gives me hope. Because you go, yeah, Judd Hirsch is 80 and he's bouncing around. I can be 80 someday and bounce around too.
Has he hit the cantankerous spot of life? Because that usually happens, what, 80 and up?
Yeah.
Maybe 85 and up.
Yeah.
He's on the cusp of being cantankerous.
I think because, this will sound terrible, but he's a New Yorker. He grew up in New York. I think you get a little bit of that as part of the package when you're growing up in New York. There's some level of that just kind of built into you, but he uses it to his advantage, you know? And I wanted to do, you know this, I do impressions of a lot of people, but I only do one or two words.
I know that.
Like a lot of your better impressionists will do a whole sentence or a paragraph as the people that they do. But for some reason, my talents, for lack of a better word, are limited to just one or two words for almost anybody I can impersonate.
For instance, do a Louis Anderson just real quick.
Yeah.
That's
all
awesome.
I can do.
That's so good.
I can't do any more than that. So when I saw Judd Hirsch in the hallway, I wanted to do my Louis De Palma impression from Taxi. That's Danny DeVito. And I wanted to do this, but I didn't. But it goes like this. This is Danny DeVito as Louis De Palma in Taxi. Riga! I wanted to just say that and just leave it at that.
I closed my eyes.
Did you like that?
I thought Danny DeVito was in the studio.
It has the feel of that, doesn't it? But then I thought, what if he doesn't know what I'm doing? What if it scares him? I don't want to scare him. He's 80. What if that scared him? So I did not do the short but sweet Danny DeVito impression for him.
Yesterday, we learned one of the best impressions I've ever heard you do, and I've known you for over 20 years, was your Michael McDonald. You should have done that for him.
Oh, did you like the Michael McDonald impression? Thank you. Thank you very much.
I missed that yesterday.
Yeah, can we have just a little of it?
All right. You have to do, now this is from the Chris Cross song, Christopher Cross, not Chris Cross. He's a rapper.
Jump.
No, not that Chris Cross. Okay. It's Christopher Cross. So he's singing a
what
the
song was it? I can't remember. It wasn't
some
song Between the Moon and New York City.
There's what's the song that they do a duet on?
Ride, ride like the wind to be free again.
All right, so you have one more line and then I'll jump in.
Well, you've got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
You're a little high.
Yeah, I am.
That was a little like Blues from last week.
It's like from Blues Clues?
Yeah, it sounded like Blue a little bit.
That's perfect. I see how it goes when you're doing it, because you got a good like head movement.
Yeah,
going
I have
on.
To do
he's
that.
He's got a groove.
Yeah, right. It's nice.
He's got a groove to get into the Michael McDonald.
Actually, I think you nailed Christopher Cross there, Wendy.
Thank you so
you did
much.
A great Christopher Cross.
It's a little high for me.
Yeah.
It is. I know that's terrible.
No, it is.
It's hard to imagine something high for you.
But the reason I was never a threat to Rich Little is, like, Rich Little would do an entire impression of somebody, and I just have, like, a word or two
he
for
does
almost
sentences,
everybody.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the Michael McDonald really blew me away yesterday.
Well, thank you.
Why don't you get the song? Because he can sing it actually really well, Ride Like the Wind.
Yeah, and I could do
it. To be free again. See, now I want to go into Michael McDonald,
right.
But I got to give that to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You can get the Eminem part.
All right, here it is. I have to contort my body.
Me, 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 me.
Isn't how beautiful this is?
It was years ago.
I can't believe Flo Rida doesn't remake this. Why wouldn't he remake this? It's ripe for it.
This is a good song.
This is a good song, isn't it? But don't you feel like it's one of those songs that as you're saying it, you feel guilty for saying it.
Guilty pleasures.
It is.
Really high.
Yeah. Now, at this point, Michael McDonald's just looking at the script to see when he jumps in. Such a long way to go. What do you think? That's not bad, right?
I think it's fantastic.
Is that all right? All right.
Can we get an a cappella version of that real quick?
No, I can't. I need Christopher Cross or somebody doing Christopher Cross for that to work. I can't do it without it.
And we've got such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
That we can do that on the Ham Radio Hour.
Yeah, on the Ham Please. Radio.
We'll just do karaoke.
That's all we'll do for an hour.
I love it. Hamioke.
Please, people, log on. WGN Radio. You've got to see it.
Right.
Believe it. It's so much better visual.
Thank you so much.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, we'll take a quick break.
It's like you're running to catch the baton in the relay.
It is.
You're getting it right.
He gets his arms up. I love it.
That's how you do it.
Woo.
That's how it's done.
You're good.
Thank you, Wendy. You are good. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more karaoke. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Again, our number, same as always, 312-981-7200. Bridget Carey from CNET will join us at 1045. As long as we're talking tech, and we will with Bridget Carey, I wanted to bring this up to you. I don't know if you're aware of this. I think I may have mentioned it. I have my computer at home is laced with computer viruses. I'm trying to remember. Sometime in November, I started getting a thing on there that said, hey, your computer's running slowly. Call this number. There's a picture of what looks to be a very helpful-looking computer person,
Ooh.
A cartoon, and then there's a number to call. And then if you call that number, they can make your computer run properly again. And every time I don't call it, like I cancel it out, you
right.
know, I get that little box and I cancel it out, my computer runs slower and slower and slower and slower. And now it just doesn't, like if I go to a website that has news stories like Huffington Post, it doesn't show me the pictures. It just has a little small box with an X in it.
Yeah,
if
it is hijacked.
If I click on a story, it won't go to that story. So I brought my computer in yesterday to a shop that's helped me with this sort of thing in the past. And all I wanted to say was, much like on days when I forget my cell phone, even though there were several times yesterday where I said, oh, I need to go to the computer and do something or find something or look at email, or it was so nice to not be bridled down by a computer all day. And again, today I won't have it. I get it back on Thursday. But it's you forget how nice it is to not have to worry about it.
You're cutting the tether.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the virus thing is weird because I have antivirus protection. I think you can get 3 or 4 computers on one subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, 100 and something bucks for the year. And you renew it and it updates, and I have it on automatic update, so it does what it's supposed to do, but yet you still get viruses sometimes.
It's the strangest thing. Somebody very close to me works at Northwestern, and they're in charge of, there's a computer program that Northwestern uses and other schools use it too that isn't 100% foolproof, but it's like the best there is. And it's not even, I mean, there's a couple names that you always hear when it comes to computer virus protection, and they're all good, but there's a couple more that are more expensive that really, really put up a wall. That said, I've had it on there 2 years, and I've had three different instances in 2 years where viruses still got through that wall.
Well, the thing is, I don't know what websites you go to, and I don't want to embarrass you.
It's all adult stuff, Wendy.
That's what your problem is.
It's just strictly adult stuff.
You can get a physical virus and a computer virus by visiting those websites.
Saves me time. It's my one-stop virus headquarters.
But see, I thought it was the kids have antivirus on their computers too, because they go to all those YouTube channels and all those places where there are going to be issues.
Well, one of them, one last year, I'll never forget it. It was, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying, I was on CBS Sports, and there was there's game highlights that I go to for various sports, and I was on one of them watching highlights, and then all of a sudden everything just slowed down and slowed down and slowed down. And then I got that, what they call the black box of death.
Just a black screen?
Yeah. The screen is completely black, and I brought it in, and he said, you can get this anywhere. I said, it's not even a dangerous website. It was CBS Sports. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, if somebody plants a bug someplace,
right,
you're going to get it. So
that's why I bought a Mac.
Oh,
seriously, I know that they can get viruses too, but
it's a lot harder too with a Mac. And if I had to do this over again, because you know I'm terrible with anything tech. I'm awful at it. And even my daughter, Reese said yesterday, she goes, why don't you switch over to Mac stuff? It's taken me 20 years to learn the little that I know on PCs to
it's
start over at Mac.
It's kind of the same thing. I was going to say it's just like your iPhone, but you don't have an iPhone.
No. I just switched from a Mac to a PC.
You went the other way. Why?
Well, it was less expensive. We had a computer crisis, so one of my kids took mine. And rather than buy a new Mac, I went that way. And I worry about the virus thing. But you know what, Bill? I used a Mac for 10 years, and I was never fully picked up the language.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. I have to have my son Dylan come over. I go, how do I open up a new window? How do I scroll? I'm still doing that.
They keep talking about, oh, it's intuitive. It's just you put your fingers on it, works out. And, you know, because I'm kind of working in two different environments or something.
Yeah.
I never really was completely up to speed on it.
So are there things, if you're versed in one or the other and then you switch over, are there things that just don't make sense because of that? Because you're
not used to it.
You just do it differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still figuring out how to work the Mac. But I got to tell you, I only need the Mac for editing things.
Yeah.
I don't use a computer that much anymore between the iPad and the iPhone.
You're on your phone most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that too, Steve? I mean,
I'm on my phone a lot more, but I still use my computer quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't use it that much anymore. You have Steve Bertrand Travel.
Right. So you need it for that.
Right.
Right. If I was starting over, if computers were just a new thing, I'd probably go with the Mac. But then, like you guys just said, even though everybody tells you, no, it's easier, it's so much easier, I still know people who go, yeah, I don't know how to do this. I can't do this on there.
It is it's pretty easy to figure out. And can I tell you, it's just, I love Googling things.
Yeah.
Because you can Google anything.
Yeah.
How do I do this on a Mac? How do I cut and paste?
And it's all there.
Answer's right there.
I was thinking yesterday, because I know how much it's going to be to get the viruses, to get the bugs out of my computer. It's a couple $100, right? So I was thinking, what did those guys gain? I mean, I guess if everything goes according to their plan, I would have called the number on there and subscribed to something, and they would have gotten rid of the virus. You know?
That's a scam, though. That I did that, Bill. I got that box once.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it looks really genuine. A Microsoft little box and gives you a number. And I was so leery, but I'm like, oh, I'll call. So I called, and I'm like, yeah, I really think you're scamming me. No. Yeah, I think you are. No. So then I hung up on them, and they called me back.
Oh, they had your number then.
They got my number from the caller ID.
That's aggressive,
yeah,
isn't it?
But now,
when
honestly,
they came over for dinner.
The I can cook for you now, Steve. Here's the thing, though. If something pops up like that, because there are many things that pop up that say, oh, your computer's running slow. Mm-hmm. Grant us access and we can clean it up for you. Mm-hmm. And I see where people can go, oh, well, God, I'll just
do
that.
How handy is this? I'm having a problem and there's a quick fix.
But think about it. Somebody's gaining access to your computer.
Yeah.
Why would you allow that?
Well, I've also had, like I said, this particular round happened to me right before Thanksgiving in November, and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
So the turkey virus, I believe.
It's the turkey virus. That's exactly what it is. So I also get from time to time like a computer voice that, have you ever heard of this?
No.
So in a like a voice that's kind of similar to the robot from Lost in Space, it explains that there is a virus on my computer. And that as we, how does it say it? What's the wording? As of this moment, your information, your credit card information is being sent to hackers all over the world and stuff like that. And it really, I mean, it sounds
I got that in the office.
Have
and
you had that?
Yeah, I think you were in there and you had said, yeah, that's happened to me. I've never had that at home, but I called our IT guy, yeah. Art, to come down and go, this is not good. I never heard, that's even scarier if your computer's talking to
it
you.
Is. I know.
Daisy. I know. Daisy.
It's what it is. It's 2001. All right. So let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll check in with Bridget Carey from CNET and find out what's going on in the rest of the world of tech. That's coming up in just a minute. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know who's here is Bridget Carey. She is the CNET senior editor and host of CNET Update. Hi, Bridget.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
We were talking about viruses, and there are just... Honestly, you have an antivirus program, and yet it still happens. We brought up that Mac computers get them less, but is that really true?
Well, it's more like you've had years and years and years of everyone having a Windows machine, and you know, you naturally have more vulnerabilities in everyone having a different version of Windows, not always upgrading their security. And so if you're going to attack someone, attack where you can make the most impact, right? And now that people are slowly starting to go into Mac computers, we are hearing that, you know, these hackers and you know, malicious types are going, you know what? Now it is worth to try to crack into Macs, so to speak. And so you do hear about a virus here and there, but I think the bigger issue isn't so much always, you know, I'm helpless and I get viruses. It's more like we all can get attacked on common threads like email or getting tricked into clicking the wrong things and giving up our passwords. I think those kinds of phishing attacks are more common anyways than other types of viruses. But yeah, in general, it's easier to exploit those on Windows because there's just more of them out there and more Windows users who maybe aren't up to date with every security patch. It just takes longer for things to get patched. And yeah, there's just it's not good on either side, but definitely worse on Windows. Yeah.
The frustrating thing, Bridget, is, and I'm stating the obvious, but it's true, is that when you do everything you're told to do, and I do, I have a real high-end security package as part of it, very expensive security package, and I don't click on things I'm not supposed to, but just regular wear and tear. If you're on the internet, I was telling Wendy, I was on CBS Sports when I got that last virus, just watching clips from games, and that's all it took.
There is a new wave of malware that can kind of infect your computer just based on hiding inside of advertisements. Not that you have to click on them, but just kind of being loaded into your computer. These legitimate companies, these legitimate websites, you know, they go to a group that says, hey, we'll sell you a bucket of ads, and they kind of just automatically show up. And that third party that's doing the ad, you know, they might buy something from one ad maker that isn't quite right, and suddenly, you know, there are virus ads infecting people's computers from normal websites. So yeah, it's kind of crazy, and there's a lot of criticism in the security world that virus protection software isn't going to help you be anyways, because they're not always
they're not up to date.
Right,
I mean,
right.
People come up with viruses every
constantly.
Minute.
Yeah,
I think. We're in a time where we used to be able to think, oh, yeah, get virus protection, you'll be safe. I think it's sad, but we have to do more to just back up our stuff on our own, because it happened to me and my computer at home. We don't know why it's just, like, bugging out, and we barely use it. And you have to kind of just back up your stuff, because now you can't even trust that security software will do what it needs to do. Although I will say I have gone to Mac since because it's just a little bit of
a little safer. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Just a quick follow up on this, Bridget. They're wiping my computer clean now. I've brought it to a shop and they're debugging it or doing their best to. When I get it back, I need to change all my passwords for everything, don't I? Right away.
You gave it to them with all your passwords. Well, I mean, do you have a file that, like, saved all your passwords on your computer, or do you have it, like, in a little written book on your
desk? I keep it. You know? There's an index card that I keep it in.
Yeah, because, like, they won't know your passwords necessarily just by having your computer.
But they have to have your password to log in,
but
right?
I'm not worried about the guys at the shop. I'm just worried about whoever got into my system initially.
Oh.
That's who I'm worried about.
Well, it is good practice, because if you don't know the source, if you don't know where exactly it came from, you have to now just take precautions. And that's why it's always good to have your email and your Facebook, or like the like really big things, your banking, your email, your Facebook. They definitely always need to be different, because if one gets compromised,
they
won't get into the others. But if your email gets compromised, obviously they can start, you know, sending queries out to Facebook and saying, oh, change my password. Okay, we sent a password reset key to your email.
Yeah.
This is why you need something called two-factor in everything you do. Two-factor, two-step, they call them different things sometimes. It means it's more than just a password. So when you log in from a new computer, it basically needs to send you a text message with a special code to really get in. That way, if someone did have my Google password or my Facebook, I don't have to panic, because I know that they can't use it unless they get a code dinged to me. And it happened to me. I started getting these text message dings, like, your Microsoft code is here. I'm like, wait a second, someone's trying to get into my Microsoft account, because I'm getting text message dings. And they're essentially halted. Now, I still change my password, because it's creepy.
It is creepy.
But that kind of layer is in everything now, and you should always have more than one layer, because you just don't know where the flaw might happen on the company side, because we're trusting a lot with, you know, these companies and putting everything in their servers, but it could also happen on in any kind of way.
All right, I want to show you this, Bill. This is in my junk Gmail. Look at who this email is from.
Attention,
who it's from? At
oh,
the very
it's from
top.
Donald Trump. He's
okay.
The president.
So that sparked my curiosity. It is in my junk folder, but it says, am Mr. Donald Trump, the new president of United States of America, am here to refund the old funds. All that you have problems with your bank, transfer all you need to do. First of all, it's gibberish, but there are spots that ask for my name.
You should give them.
An account number.
Yeah, you should do that.
And routing number.
Wendy, it's the president. He needs it. You got to give it to him.
Bridget, who in the world is going to fall for this?
People who are not... Let's see, how do I put this?
Smart.
Older people.
Naive.
Have to fall for this. It's the same people who fall for, like, you know, weird calls on your phone that say you won a lottery that you never entered. It's kind of like you kind of wonder, well, why aren't you taking the time to at least spell things right if you're trying to trick me?
Listen to this. You know, listen to the end of it. Please follow our instructions correctly to avoid no mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they to avoid
people,
no mistakes.
One of the things that they try to do in all these is try to make you a little nervous.
Yeah.
And if it sounds like it's from the IRS, the government, if it sounds like it's hurry, something's compromised, follow these instructions very carefully. Things that kind of trigger that nervous feeling that make you suddenly, not take the time to really think it through, because suddenly time is on the line or there's someone important calling. It's the same with phone spoofing. Now when you get that caller ID, they can make it say anything on where that phone call's coming from.
That's scary.
So it says IRS or it says, you know, President Trump, whatever it says, you know, it makes you think, well, it must be true if it says it on my phone, but all that can be fake. Just like how if you get an email, they can fake what that email address is from. It could say it's from, you know, whitehouse.gov, and it's not really from there. So,
and Bridget, there's no way, because, like, on the thing that I have, the virus I have, I told Wendy there's a box with a cartoon of a guy saying, we want to help you, call this number so we can get rid of this virus. But now that we have their number, there's no way that the Better Business Bureau or whoever, they can't track that number and figure out where this is coming from? Is that impossible?
Are you talking about where the virus itself came from? I mean, you can always report this stuff, but they're not able to, like, what they do, if you ever report this kind of stuff, it's they kind of gather it all and can use it in their fight in the future, or they try to, say, get as much information as you can. But the Better Business Bureau, it's also, like, things like the FTC and FCC, you know, they also join together in hearing complaints about you know, things like this where they're trying to be taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And when I approach them about things like robocalls, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I can't really tell where that's coming from, right? You know,
right.
They go, well, we want as much information as we can. So the more info we get, we can kind of, you know, gather more. But you're not supposed to engage with these things because then it can either infect your computer or bother you on the phone or wherever it's coming from, right?
Right.
So the advice is always don't engage. Yet if you happen to, give us all the information you can.
Right.
And if you call the BBB and report that phone number, it's probably just somebody's cell phone that they, if they get a call from the BBB, they will just change their number probably.
Sure of it.
Well, they also have machines that just rotate numbers so fast.
Like
it's really a computer doing these things, and they're coming from other countries. So it looks like the phone number's coming from inside, you know, from maybe it's local, maybe it's another state, but really they're just spoofing it, and it's just, you know, firing them off really quickly from another country.
What we've learned today from Bridget Carey from CNET, trust no one.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
So true.
That's how you got to live.
That's it.
All right. Thank you very much. You can go to CNET.com. You can watch the CNET update and see Bridget Carey every day. It is so nice to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Hi, Bridget. We'll take a quick break. Steve with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, I have to discuss something with you, Bill.
Please. That's why I'm here.
Steve, jump in as well. Women are crazy. Can I just say that?
Yeah. Next topic.
All right. Moving right along. going out with my girlfriends tonight for dinner, and I made sure that I curled my hair. I dressed nicely.
You look like $1 million.
These
are girlfriends from what stage of life?
Grade school and high school.
Friends of yours from grade school and high school, and you guys go out from time to time. You have
we
a ladies'
try
night
every
out.
Every couple of months, yeah. We try to just go out to dinner.
Yeah.
We're not bar hopping. We're
no.
not doing ladies' night at Oliver's with the free drinks for $7.50, and you get to keep the glass.
That's the beauty of that.
But there's something wrong with women that we work harder and dress nicer to impress other girls than we do our men.
Isn't that interesting? I think that's true. I think you've hit on something. So why would that be? What you would think?
I don't know.
It'd be the opposite.
I feel bad that I did it, but I took extra time today. Usually, you know, coming to work, I should look nice every day and professional.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But men do the same thing.
Do you try to outdress the guys
you
dress
you're for
hooking
other guys
up with?
Or for women?
No,
Steve?
We try to dress better as well to impress other women.
Oh, okay. All right, but that, shouldn't we be dressing that? I mean, I guess when we went to Kevin's wedding, I dressed up and wanted to look nice.
Yeah.
Not really for Jim, but because of the, you know, other women that will be there going, oh, she looks nice. Oh, she looks fat in that dress.
And do you do that? Oh, I wore this when we went out to dinner 3 years ago with this group.
You got to keep track. But see, yeah, it's weird that, do men do that at all? You don't, if you're going out with a group of guys, you're not going to take extra care to look nice so they think you're all pulled together?
Steve, do you do that?
No.
I don't think I've ever done that once.
No.
I can't remember.
I mean, I want to look good, you know, I might wear something that looks nice, but it would never be.
Not to impress or
no.
to possibly beat other guys in the group. Right.
Right. Kevin looks so good in those shoes he has. I've got to find some new shoes.
Yeah.
I think
like
you
that.
Guys
no.
just figured out why we do that.
Because
girls actually will compliment other girls like, oh my God, that top is so cute. Guys won't, so we're trying to get those compliments.
I don't think that's a solution. That's a symptom because what they're really saying is, oh, you look really good in that top. I look better. You know,
I don't
that's still
that.
Part of the competition too.
But you will get that compliment. I've told you this before. Anytime we go out with other couples, the first 5 minutes, like when we're all together, are spent with
the
all the girls complimenting
yeah.
each other's tops. That just happens.
It just does. And so it doesn't mean that much.
No.
It's like,
I guess you're right.
Hey, good to see you. You look great. No, you look great. No, you look great.
Seriously, you could just wear a Packers suck t-shirt, and the first 5 minutes would be, where'd you get that top? That's fantastic. I gotta have that.
One of those.
That looks so great on you. So I always look at that as just empty. It's just
part of
the game of we're now we see each other, so we got to say something.
So I wasted my time curling my hair today?
No, you didn't do that.
You look great.
You look fantastic. But it is curious, and I've heard this forever, that women tend to dress more for other women than they do for men, because it goes against the grain of what society is, right? Because you're, even though you're with somebody, you're with Jimmy and you're happy, you would think you would still want to catch the attention of other guys, but no, it's the opposite.
It is the opposite. I don't know what's wrong with us.
Why would that be? So has it... Like, think back to your mom. When your mom went out with friends, was it that way with your mom, or is it a generation?
Yeah.
It was. She'd say, I know who I'm going out with. I know the ladies in this group. I want to at least keep par and possibly surpass the way that they look.
Maybe that's what it is. And, you know, I was thinking maybe it's an image thing that, you know, you're trying to prove to everybody else you're all pulled together.
Yeah.
But I'm so not. And I'll, like, talk. If they let me open my mouth, I will say, oh, this went on today. Oh, I'm having a crazy day.
Right.
So I'm not trying to give the illusion that I'm all pulled together.
No, of course not.
I don't know what it is about women trying to outdress the women they're going out with.
You know what? Take a stand. Mess your hair tonight.
Yeah.
Throw off that nice sweater.
Yeah.
Go just looking like a
naked?
Dump.
Grimy.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Scuffle your face.
See, but you guys, that is true too. If I showed up with dirty hair and my makeup was smeared, they'd go, what's wrong with Wendy?
I know. Right.
No, they'd say, oh, you look great. You look great. And then you go to the bathroom. What's wrong with her?
Oh, I guess.
The other night, as we were watching the awards, the SAG-AFTRA awards, somebody won an award and then they cut to the audience and the guy who won's wife was there. And her hair was a mess.
Intentionally? Because bedroom hair is the thing, you know?
I think it was intentional, but my wife said, because they show the guy, he's making the speech, they cut to the wife looking very proud, but her hair's just all over. And my wife said, well, I'm glad he's so successful, but they still can't seem to afford a brush. That's weird that they can't afford a hairbrush. And I said to her, what if I said that? What if we went somewhere and there was somebody like that and I said that? It would be terrible. But if a woman says it, you go, well, I'm just looking out for her. I don't want her to go out in public like that. But I think it was a conscious, you know, because there's a certain look where you just, it's kind of a disheveled, hey, I just came in out of a wind tunnel look.
I got to know whose wife it was now.
I can't remember whose it was. I can't remember.
Because that's, you know, that's the must hair is very stylish.
Right.
And if, you know, you're a woman who has your hair perfectly coiffed all the time.
Yeah.
I've not seen Terry do the big hair or the messy.
No.
Stuff.
No.
But you're right. Girls can get away with saying that, and guys, she would have elbowed you.
It's so funny that there's certain rituals when it comes to looks. For instance, Steve and I have had dinner together with our wives. Steve, how weird would it have been if when we met at the restaurant, our first few minutes were me saying, I love that sweater vest. I got to have that sweater vest.
No, it would have been uncomfortable. It
would have been so strange.
Steve does that, though. I've noticed Steve, unless he's just trying to pretend he's nice. Hey, you look nice today or something.
Steve doesn't have that.
I'll say sometimes if you know have something cool on, I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that, but it's not a reflex, you know.
But your goal isn't to, because we've said this before, like with women, I always wonder when they mention where they got it and what the price was, is the next step for them to go, well, then I'm going there tomorrow and getting one for myself.
Well, you made fun of me. Kristen Decker came in the office with the high top Chuck Connors Converse.
Yeah.
Not Chuck Connors.
Chuck Taylor. Chuck Connors.
I wanted the rifleman shoes.
Those would look good on you. You should get a pair of those.
I love the rifleman shoes.
Guns that pop out. All right. So the Chuck Taylor Converse.
Yes.
Kristen Decker, they're high tops and they were a wedge built into it. And I'm like, I love those. Where did you get them? That was the, and you laughed at me and you said, what are you going to go out and get them? I went that weekend and got them.
I know. I don't think, like, to me, let's say Steve had on a shirt that I went, that, what a shirt Steve has. I wouldn't go out and get it because then my fear would be then the next time Steve wears it, I'm wearing it and people would think we were twins.
Steve and Kevin had the same pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And I asked you guys, where'd you get them? I went and got Jim the same pair of shoes. And it was from Bobby Slayton who gave us Skechers coupons.
Yeah.
I might have been first there.
Well, but you were okay with it when I said, oh, my God, where'd you get those? I want to get them for Jim. And you told me how much they were. You told me where you got them.
Yeah.
So you're fine with that.
Yeah, I don't care. But, I mean, Kevin and I never, I say, oh, you're going to wear your shoes tomorrow?
Right.
I know. And
it's
can I tell
planned.
You, there's no. been times that you've worn them on the same day. No one has ever noticed.
Well,
no,
I noticed.
You're more like a girl in that respect.
Right. You bring in a spare pair in case you need to change.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes I do. Not for that reason, but like if it's a snowy day, yeah, I'll do the old shoe change. You can't have sloppy shoes at work.
I got this camouflage leather bag on Etsy at a store called Sword, S-O-R-D, if anybody's interested. Mm-hmm. And I have had 3 to 5 women come up to me when I'm out shopping or whatever. Oh, my God, I love that camo bag. Where did you get it? And these are perfect strangers.
I know you well enough to know that you would rather have that than find a $100 bill in the street. It'd be better for you to have 3 to 5 women come up and go, I love what you're wearing, than to just find $100 in the street.
Absolutely.
I know.
And I'm like, it's kind of expensive, but, you know, I use it every day. I've gotten my money's worth. The perfect tale of what you just said, that I'd rather get that compliment than find $100. When we went to Nashville, we went and toured the Gibson guitar plant, which was awesome. It was really cool. We're walking around. I'm with Michael, my older son, and Jim.
Yeah.
And we're just walking around the factory. You can't touch anything. And all of a sudden, this woman comes up to me and says, we have been watching you for about a half an hour. Where did you get those shoes? And they were the Converse high top wedges. And Jim just looked at me and looked at the lady and goes, you just made her whole year.
I'm sure.
It's like, when? They've been following, they've been eyeing you for the last hour. And they had a spokesperson come up to, I said, oh, you can get them at Kohl's or the Converse store. They were only $49.99. Oh. You could probably find them on sale. They have 3 different colors. Thank you so much.
Wow.
I want to
get a commission
share
on that.
That did make that was better than finding a $100 bill in a guitar neck.
I'm positive it is. All right. Oh, calls are coming in. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on this. Wendy is living proof of this. Women do, I guess, apparently dress more for women than they do for men. Is that possible? Give us a call or a text. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. If you're just joining us, let me quickly catch you up. Wendy has a night out with her friends tonight, some girlfriends she's had since grade school and high school. And she was just explaining how more times than not, including tonight,
extra effort goes into prepping and primping before going out with the girls.
I get it.
Didn't really know why that happened, but I just like the compliment. I think that's what it is, because they notice.
Yeah.
If I'm going out with you guys, you'd be like, hey,
but
it's my compliment.
But isn't it awkward for a guy to... See, it shouldn't be, but it's kind of awkward if a guy compliments somebody else's wife. Boy, do you look hot. Then everybody just looks at you like, what? Hey. Hey, calm down.
I guess that would be weird.
It would be strange.
Carol, what do you have to say about this?
Well, I just wanted to point out that men have their own version of this. Maybe it's just on the radio, but when is the last time you heard any man on the radio just refer to Joe's wife, Mitzi? It's always Joe's beautiful wife.
Yeah.
Not brilliant, not anything else, but beautiful wife, Mitzi.
Yep.
So I think that's the male version of the same thing. Again, I can't say that in real life people do this, but in radio life, they definitely do.
I think it bleeds over into real life.
Too.
I hear it all the time in real life.
Hey, did you check out Bill's arm candy? Wow, she's hot.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, Carol.
Yeah, I just had to, you know, give the female team a little credit here. You know?
But don't you dress a little better if you're going out with your girlfriends?
I think I'm not normal, so I dress however I dress.
Yeah.
I do
I
too.
I work from home. I don't have a lot of fancy clothes, you know, and I'm fine with that. But I would agree that most women do that for sure.
I'd at least make sure my hair's clean when I'm going out with the girls.
I try to be clean, yes.
Excellent.
Sanitary, you know.
Thank you, Carol. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Don't you think for a lot of guys, and I will certainly include myself in this, we kind of know what our limits and our boundaries are. Like, I know that on my best day, I'll look okay. Like, there's never going to be a time that I show up somewhere and people are just wowed by it.
Yes, that's not true. Because when you dress up in a suit, I saw a very handsome picture of you when you were doing a charity event.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, my God, you look so good. You had to have known when you checked yourself in the mirror the last time before you walked out the door. I don't know if you did the double guns.
You got to do the double guns.
You know, looking at yourself. But right. I'm sure you looked in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I look pretty good.
I think it's because on more days than not, I dress kind of the same almost every day. Wouldn't you agree? All that changes is the climate outside.
Yeah.
For half the year, I wear shorts and like a baggy sweatshirt or a t-shirt. And for half the year, I wear long pants and a baggy sweatshirt or a baggy t-shirt. That's kind of it for me. So on a night where I'm forced to dress like an adult, I mean,
People notice then.
I guess they notice a little more, but then I get that phrase all the time. Oh, you clean up nicely, and what that when somebody says that, that means I just look like crap the rest of the time. Yeah, there's no effort at all.
I have to laugh at my husband because I don't remember who it was. It was somebody on a television show, and he had a black t-shirt and jeans on. And Jim got so offended, and he's like, I invented that look. I said, you did not. Do you know how many people wear a black t-shirt and jeans? He's like, that's the radio look. And that is how people dress.
Yeah.
Maybe you'd put a button-down shirt over it, but it's the black t-shirt and jeans. I'm like, you didn't invent that.
Right.
He really wants like people to pay him some residuals.
I don't know if he invented it. It is the uniform of radio.
It is.
When I did stand-up, there was a stand-up kind of a uniform, and that was guys always wore t-shirts from other comedy clubs, like wherever they weren't working that week, they would wear like the Cleveland Improv shirt that week. And if they were on stage, it was a jacket with the sleeves rolled up.
Oh, that was the time though when you did it. Wasn't that the 80s? Because
yeah.
Even the girls did that.
Yeah.
The shoulder padded jackets with the sleeves pushed up.
Right.
Oh my God, I forgot
it
about
that.
It made
people funnier for some reason. Look, you can see my forearms. Isn't that funny?
It worked for Popeye.
It did, didn't it?
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I was thinking back, ever since I was a teenager, I wear clothes from different eras, the beaded sweaters from the 40s and that kind of thing. And even now, I'm wearing stuff from the 60s, which I lived through, by the way.
Yeah.
And I don't really care what people think, but I go to my girlfriends to say, am I too whacked out there or am I looking too fat? And that's really all I care about. Other than that, it's like, you don't like it, the heck of me, you know?
That's the way we should all be. You should absolutely dress for whatever makes you feel good, but so many people don't.
I do.
I had one drunk guy come up to me once when I worked in the bar, and I had on a 40s, complete 40s outfit. He staggered over to me and said, I love your ensemble.
Wow.
That's kind of words to live by, you know? I love your ensemble from a drunk guy.
That's what I'm going to strive for now, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
I always dress for comfort. I mean, bottom line, there's sometimes, you know, I had to go to a funeral a couple weekends ago, and I put a skirt on and tights and boots, and I was not that comfortable.
I know what you mean.
I mean, it.
But there's sometimes, if the situation dictates a certain look like that one did, you know, it's. I always kiddingly call it weddings and funerals. It's just
kind of true.
Weddings and funerals dress
or job interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
Even then, I try to look more like myself. You know what? Like, right. I'd laugh if you were going to a job interview and you showed up in a suit. That wouldn't be you.
I know. But I've had to do it.
I guess.
And then I always tell the person. I don't know why I do this. I don't usually dress like this. Thanks.
Because you're noticing it and you're probably not comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, you're the last comment on this.
Hey, I'm a 50-year-old guy, and I'm working with two 30-year-old guys, and they actually notice when somebody shaves differently or cuts their hair differently. And it's like, I heard one of them say to another, hey, man, nice cut.
Really?
Never in my life have I, never in my life have I noticed that about somebody else.
Kevin, are you not like that?
Well,
Not to that extent.
I'll notice a good-looking...
The words, hey, man, nice cut.
Maybe not those exact words, but I'll notice a haircut on a pal, you know? Got cleaned up, got lined up, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
See? It's millennials.
It happens. That's it. Thank you, Nick.
See ya.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Millennials dress better than we did when we were growing up.
Without a doubt. Yep.
Thank God we don't have a real job where we have to dress professionally.
I know.
Business casual? How about just casual casual?
Right. Right. All right. A break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Hey, football fans. There's a new game in town. Oh, the NFL will still exist. Don't get me wrong. The NFL isn't going anywhere fast. But fans...
Like we'd miss it, being Bears fans?
Right.
Or being from Chicago, I guess,
right.
I should say.
Right. But if you're a fan of football and you want more, franchise might just be the thing for you. Is it something you've never heard of? Don't worry, we'll explain. Ray Austin joins us right now. He's the co-founder of Franchise and director of team ops for the Salt Lake City Screaming Eagles. Hello, Ray.
Hey, 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 guys. How are you guys doing? Chicago. Miss you already.
Now, you're originally from here, right?
No, actually, I'm not from Chicago, but I ended up being there in the Wanstead and Geron eras playing down there with you guys. And I've been there for 16 years, and I just fell in love with Chicago, and I consider it home. So
good.
Well, look at this, a Chicago Bear who's finally successful because he's not with the team anymore.
How about that? You don't see that very often, do you? Ray, explain what this is. Explain franchise. I know a little bit about it. I've been told about it, but this sounds like a great idea. Talk it up a little bit.
Oh my goodness! Are you asking me? Are we crazy? Yes. So that's the first thing. But no, you know, it's just a bunch of guys. We all got together. We didn't even know each other. I'll tell you a quick story how we kind of all got together. One of my partners, Grant Cohen, he came up with an idea about 5 years ago to own a minor league baseball team and allow the fans to kind of put their input in it. And he called it Project Franchise back in the day. And, you know, it got some wheels on it, and it kind of settled down, didn't really get any big play about it. My other partner, our CEO, Sohrab Farooti, actually owned the Las Vegas Outlaws arena football team with Vince Neil, mm-hmm. the rock and roll guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, from Motley Crue? You know, mm-hmm.
From Motley Crue, yep. Because, you know, a lot of those AFL guys, L.A. Kiss, they had one too as well. And he was in partnership with them, and he wanted to turn that team into a fan-ran team. And, you know, didn't work out. They decided to split, go their separate ways. By the way, I was here in Chicago sitting at a friend of mine's semi-pro football game, and I'm in the stands, like, really just cussing the coach out and saying, I don't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. I want to help him out. And I started to develop a small beta test mobile app that allowed people to just kind of send a picture of a play down to another phone. So the way things work out, my former Chicago Bear Tony Parrish, one of my teammates, came in town. We went out and had some drinks, and he asked me what I was working on. I told him what it was. He actually knew Sohrab Farooti. He connected me with him. I flew up the next day, and it's just been a big marriage between all of us. We said, hey, we all got the same idea. We all have different ways of doing this. How about instead of competing against each other, we come together and create this thing franchise? And it's been a whirlwind. It's basically the first ever fan-run football team. And when I say that, we literally started allowing the fans to do everything. Literally, we just took a football organization and just opened the doors and said, hey, look, help us. Tell us what you want to do. If you ever want to be a part of a team and wanted to have some type of say, well, this is where you can do that. So the first thing we allowed people to do was to pick our location. So we said, hey, we're going to buy an expansion team, and wherever the fans want us to go, we're going to go. And we went into the indoor football league, which is the perfect place for this to be at, because I don't know if you guys ever played or seen a arena football, but it's a very intimate play because it's a basketball stadium. So it's very, very close. So things are fast. Things are moving. It's kind of like being at a basketball game where it's all about the crowd and the fan engagement. And so we allowed our fans to pick our location. And they picked Salt Lake City, which I didn't think it was going to happen, but they picked Salt Lake City.
Why do you think they chose, of all the locations, and I think your boundaries were just the 48 contiguous United States, I believe. So why would they choose Salt Lake City, do you think?
You know why? I didn't know at first. I'm actually born or played football in high school in Oklahoma, so I was like, rah-rah, Oklahoma, this will be the best place for football. And there, Salt Lake City is coming up and becoming what they call Silicon Slopes. They are pushing technology in Salt Lake in a tremendous way. We went to a summit called the Silicon Slopes Summit, just technology, and people do not realize how much technology is based out of Salt Lake City. So I think that was the draw that brought us to Salt Lake City. From there, we allowed the fans to pick the name, and I think that's what kind of gave us all of the exposure, because one of my partners got up on TV and said, hey, look, If the fans want to call the team Teamy McButterface, we want to do that. And me and the other partners looked at him and was like, what? And from there, you know, ESPN picked this up, SI picked this up, Fox. But it was just a whirlwind of people going, that is crazy. That's the stupidest idea in the world. And then people were like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, let's see how it goes. So from there, we allowed the fans to pick our name, our logo. And the biggest thing was we allowed them to actually pick our coach. So I had live streaming interviews with five coaches, and I allowed the fans to listen into the meeting. And I went X's and O's, moral, character, mm-hmm. What would you do in this situation? And then after the videos were done, we uploaded the videos and said, go ahead, pick who you want. And they picked our coach, William McCarthy. And from there, he and I flew around the country. We went to Tampa, Dallas, and Ohio, and we had like an NFL combine tryout. And we went to those different cities, videotaped everything so the fans could see what we were doing. And we even had fans coming to help us in the actual tryouts. They were helping us time. They were helping us, with the bench press. And we told our fans, they said, hey, look, we need your help. You know, we've crowdsourced the football organization, and we want everybody to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I can see where you'd want to participate because you feel like you're part of the family from the inside out.
Let's just say this. Raise your hand, and even I know we're on radio, so how many people would have wanted to trade their quarterback in Chicago?
We're looking outside on Michigan Avenue, and hands are up all over the place. Everybody. Everybody.
I'll go another way. Who raise your hand if you would tell the Seattle Seahawks to never ever wear those lime green uniforms?
Sure. I'm the only one who liked those. Yeah. Sorry, I like lime green.
All right. This is my last one.
All right.
How many people would have called a different play in the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriot game?
Yeah. Yep. So it makes sense if you're a football fan and you say to yourself, I'm tired of just rooting for a team that doesn't seem to want my input, all of a sudden your voice can be heard, huh?
Well, just stop sitting on the couch and stop, sitting at the bar and cursing at everybody and how bad this guy is and how awful this coach is and how bad this organization is and come help. that cuts everything out. And says,
sure.
If you want a chance to be a part, whether it's calling plays, I mean, our mobile app will allow our fans to actually come into the stadium and call plays. I meet with what we call our virtual scouts.
Yeah.
We have people that have actually paid to be what we call virtual scouts. So instead of, I don't know if you guys know about scouting in the NFL and college, these teams only have four or five scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to scour they're flying around the country looking for players. Well, we have 74 scouts all around the country that literally scour the internet, YouTube, and Huddle, and look for links of players that didn't make it in the NFL and made it into the NFL, but then had got put out, and they're looking for a place to gain film. And people don't understand what the AFL, Indoor Football League, and all these other leagues are. They're places for players that are not on rosters to create film. The people, everybody I run into is a free agent.
Yeah.
And I say, you're not a free agent unless you're creating film.
Ray Austin is our guest. He's the co-founder of Fanchise. If you're a football fan and you feel like your voice hasn't been heard, here's your chance to be a decision maker for a major football team, the Salt Lake City Screaming Eagles. Who will the Screaming Eagles play against, Ray?
So we play in the Indoor Football League, and you can go to goifl.com, and you can see all the teams that we play. And we play 10 teams. Actually, one of the teams that we play was the former team of Kurt Warner.
Oh, wow.
Iowa Barnstormers. Yeah, our Barnstormers. And there has been NFL players that have come out of this league. And to me, that's kind of my holy grail. I would love for one of our fans or one of our players to be able to get a chance and an opportunity to get on a roster. So that's our goal. But, yes, you can go to goifl.com. You can look at all the teams. There's got Nebraska Danger, Green Bay Blizzard. The Green Bay team is going to be good. Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls is going to be great. We've actually had the Arizona Rattlers the Spokane Empire coming to our league from the AFL. So we're getting a lot of strong competition coming our way.
Is there any plan? Are there any plans to make another team that is fan operated?
Oh, absolutely. We actually just purchased the Colorado Crush team, and my former teammate and good friend, five-time Pro Bowl linebacker Al Wilson, is going to be the face of the Colorado team. So, and my goal is for this team for these leagues to kind of resurrect a lot of those players and players that we used to love and talk about. You know, so a lot of my teammates have gotten involved. Amon Green, former Green Bay Packers, an investor in the Salt Lake City team. We've got some other players that are going to be investing. So we've got you know, from top CEOs of the 49ers to former CEOs of the NFL Mobile on our board of directors. So,
that's excellent.
You know, we're trying to make this professional. This is a game, and we want fans and having fun. That is that's the number one thing.
Sure.
For us. I want to win games. You know, my business partners, they're like, hey man, we want the fans to be engaged. So it's a balance of both. You know, I want people to come in, you know, come into this organization and see the validity of what we're trying to do. You know, from practice to film, game film, and learning from players that have been there. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Ray, we only have a minute, but I'm curious, if somebody wants to get involved and be one of the voices of the teams, it costs them money at some point, doesn't it?
It for right now, we're going with we call that freemium model.
Yeah.
Just get involved with the voting. I mean, be a part of everything we're doing at this point. All that stuff is free. If you want to become a part of the, you know, the GM, the scouting department, or calling plays, you know, then that's when you can start getting into the subscription. And it's just a few bucks a month. And that's the great thing about it.
All right.
We just want people to be involved and engaged 365 days out of the year.
Aren't you afraid somebody's going to bet against your team or for your team and then call really bad plays? Like, what if
is Pete Rose involved in
right,
this at all?
Right, is Pete Rose involved?
Everybody, they're like, no, why would you have my grandmother or a girl calling my plays
right.
on fourth and one? They're going to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
You know, this is football. That can't happen. We won't allow that to happen.
All right.
We're taking this serious. You know, I'm signing my signature on this thing, and I want people to say, you know, that was football. I enjoyed playing, but I also learned so much in you know, the ins and outs of football that people just don't get to see from the NFL.
What's the best website to send listeners to if they want to get involved?
Yes, fanchi.com. It's fan, FANCHI dot SE. That's all you got to put in. Or you can go to our Twitter, SL Screaming Eagles, or our Facebook, SL Screaming Eagles. Or you can reach out to me, Ray Austin 36, on my Twitter and my Facebook, and I'll talk to you about this all day.
Ray, it sounds like you got a good idea. I hope it takes off for you. I really do.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Chicago. I love you guys.
Absolutely.
Go team.
Ray Austin, former Chicago Bear, former New York Jet, and now the co-founder of Fanchise. Go to FANCHI.SE on your internet. We'll be right back at Spill and Wendy WGN. We just spoke with Ray Austin, former Chicago Bear, who played under Dick Duran and Dave Wannstedt. That must have been a difficult period in his life.
I'm surprised he admits it.
I know. Both you and I played for the Bears during those periods. We never talk about it.
I had a more even mustache than Dave Wannstedt. Sorry, Dave. You know, all right, I got to tell you, when we were talking to Ray, I had really not been familiar with the IFL or indoor football league.
Oh, yeah.
Until Ray said arena football, and then it all clicked.
Yeah.
Wasn't Mike Adamley involved?
He did play-by-play for that league for a while.
For the Chicago Rush.
Yeah.
I went to the IFL.com and some interesting names. No Chicago teams.
Not currently, no.
God, I wish we did, because we could just flip-flop them with the Bears.
I know.
I'm not even kidding.
This would be the time to have an indoor football league team with the Bears kind of down on their luck, but we don't have one right now.
Salt Lake Screaming Eagles that we talked about, which is what Ray is behind. He's the team ops for that team.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up to him because I know he's got a lot to think about in creating this new team, but I don't think you can serve alcohol in Utah on a Sunday. The football games are probably played on
a
Sunday.
Why are you thinking of that?
Because I know for a lot of people who attend a game, that's part of the experience is
maybe they play on Saturdays.
A glass of Chablis during the game. Oh, maybe they do play on Saturdays.
The things you think about sometimes.
I didn't want to ruin it for him because he's got a lot of time and energy invested in this, but I don't, I think you're not, I thought you weren't allowed to serve alcohol in Utah on Sundays, I thought.
Again.
I know, there's other bigger, if you're running a football franchise, there's other things to focus on, but
God,
I will bring that up to him if I talk to him again.
The Arizona Rattlers.
That's a tough
like
sounding
that.
Team.
Colorado Crush.
Yeah.
Nebraska Danger.
No, you don't like that, but
no.
I know that traditionally a team, it should be a word that ends in S, and danger is a little more abstract, but that would put some fear in me. I'm playing, who are we playing? The Danger?
That's stupid.
It sounds like they would do anything at all costs to win.
I don't
know.
I don't like the Avalanche either. I do. I guess they do all end in S's.
Almost all teams do, yeah.
The Spokane Empire.
That doesn't work for me at all. Is that from Star Wars? Is that a Star Wars reference?
I have no idea. Or the show Empire?
Oh, maybe. Or the Carpet Place?
Maybe. I'm sure that's it.
Maybe.
Oh, wait.
Maybe they have shag carpet instead of AstroTurf.
There's the Bushell Boom Booms.
See what I mean? A lot of teams are tied in with the carpet companies.
And if there isn't a Bushell Boom Booms, why not? They should take it. The Cedar Rapids Titans.
That's good, I guess.
Iowa Barnstormers.
That has a retro feel. I don't mind that one.
Sioux Falls Storm.
That's all right.
Wichita Falls Nighthawks.
That sounds like a high school team.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Can I just tell you my favorite one, and I hate that
more
it's
than
from...
the Danger?
I don't like the Nebraska Danger.
Because I've been in Nebraska, and there's no danger there at all. Zero. 0.00% danger. So
it's funny and clever?
Yeah.
I like this one, and it's from our neighbors to the north. Green Bay Blizzard.
Yeah, that has a cool sound to
it. I kind of like that. Maybe that's going to be the team I follow now.
In the Indoor Football League?
Yeah, because I'm not going to watch the Bears.
All right. That makes sense.
Oh, wait. Is this Katie? She wants to comment on what's in your brain.
Yes.
Oh, good
Hi.
Luck.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Yes, he's right. You cannot sell alcohol on Sunday in Utah. And also, if you're in a fine dining or restaurant, alcohol has to have a drapery hung in front of it. So, like, if you take your children out for dinner in a nice restaurant, and there's a bar included, the alcohol bottles cannot be exposed. So what this is because of the Mormons.
Oh, yeah, right.
Powerful there. So then what happens is the kids get the booze, get somebody by them, they go out in the mountains and drink it and throw the bottles in the mountains. But, no, it's very strict. Everything has to be covered. They cannot be visible at any time.
How about that?
Well, thank you, Katie. We appreciate that. I just want to tell you that games are played on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There is a Sunday game.
Yeah.
A couple of Sunday games, but for the most part, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, then they're fine.
God, the things you think about.
That could be a major thing.
You don't think he thought of that?
I would hope he did, but that's if you're planning a football team and you go, yeah, it'll be great. We'll serve beer and wine and margaritas. And then somebody goes, oh, no, you can't in Utah on a Sunday. But if they're on during, Thursday, it's not a problem.
Quit fretting, Bill.
I'm fretting. That's what I do. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. But first...
It is time now for the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs Lunch Break. Yada-da-da-da-da. Wah!
Kevin, call security. Just do it. Call security.
I'm sorry. You can win a Firehouse Subs gift card right now. If your caller number, what number? I'm done.
Caller 12.
Aren't we off at noon today?
For a little while.
Oh,
yeah,
we have another.
There's a second half coming.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. What number, caller?
Caller 12. Call right now. 312-981-7200. Win a prize.
A Firehouse Subs gift card. It would be nice if you knew what the prize was.
They don't tell me.
If you don't win a card, you can ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You will get the make your own sub. Build a medium sub with one of your favorite meats, turkey, ham, or roast beef, fully loaded with lettuce, tomato, mayo, mustard, and a pickle spear on the side. The make your own sub Bill and Wendy special is only $4.99. Are you out of your mind?
They're not going to let you have the pickle spear because that's a sharp object and that's not in your best interest.
Find a Firehouse Subs near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. Congratulations to Linda from Munster, like the cheese.
Yes. Caller 12. Congrats, Linda. We'll find out if Steve can help us next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. This is part two of our Tuesday show. If you want to be a part of it, 312-981-7200 by phone or by text.
Bill, when we started our show earlier this morning at 10 o'clock, you had a special announcement, and I think perhaps we should make that special announcement again. So we need to give Kevin Richter some time to get the special announcement stinger.
I think any special announcement is important, don't get me wrong, but I think if you're really going to make a special announcement special, you need some special announcement music, and Kevin found some that I think set the table nicely for our special announcement.
Oh, we may have a different one now because we made fun of the first special announcement.
We did make fun
music.
Of the first one. Let's see if the second one is better. Here comes a special announcement.
It's the same
I
one.
I think it is the same one, isn't it?
Apparently only one lives on YouTube. Sorry. I thought I was going to come out with something great. Same one.
I think this is... It gets you in the mood that you know something is coming.
Why doesn't Kevin do, and now here's Bill Leff with a special announcement.
Can you recue the music, Kevin, and just give us a little...
I think like, it just recued itself.
This is WGN Radio, and now a special announcement.
So I'm going to play that, and then over it.
Yeah,
I'm
talk
gonna,
over
pretend
it.
You're yep. an announcer.
Yep.
Ahem. This is a special announcement from WGN Radio's Bill Leff.
It seemed forced, didn't it?
That's not, a little too professional for me.
It seemed too professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try it again.
Oh, I'm doing another one?
Do one more.
This is an announcement for Bill Leff, so.
That was too loose.
Oh, I just
come
thought.
On, Goldilocks, right in the middle.
Oh, I'm going again.
One more.
Take from the top and do it good this time.
This is a special report from WGN Radio's Bill Leff.
That was perfect.
That was excellent. That was very good. All right.
He's cracking himself up. That was really good.
Kevin, that was flawless.
Thanks.
And I think anyone listening right now knows that what's to follow is exactly as advertised. It's a special announcement. At the end of yesterday's show, we met with the brass of the station, our bosses, Todd and Stephanie, and we were informed that the schedule here at WGN Radio is changing a little bit. Back in the fold is our old friend John Williams, who's been working primarily in Minnesota, but been doing weekends here on the station.
And has been here for quite some time.
A long time.
I really didn't realize he had been here so long.
Many,
I think he
years.
Said since 1947?
He started in the spring of 1947 with WGN when the world was in black and white. And he's still with us. And he will be with us more often, 6 days a week for John Williams, starting on March the 13th. Now, everything shifts just a little bit. Part one of our show remains intact. We'll be on from 10 to noon. But then in noon, everybody will have the option. They can listen to Steve Bertrand's Wintrust Business Lunch. But I wouldn't. I'd switch over.
He's back in the saddle.
Is he in the studio? Sorry. I would certainly consider that as an option to hear the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve. But then also, we will be, Wendy and I will be on ham radio for an hour. Right?
Cracks me up every time.
It's what they call the streaming. We'll be on the streaming.
The stream.
The stream.
WGNplus.com.
We'll be in the stream. You gotta,
don't
I gotta
cross
buy,
it.
Do not cross the stream. We'll have to buy those big wading boots.
I already
you
have
see
them.
In fishing movies.
I already have them up
you
to
have
my hips.
Them. All right. So we'll have those in the stream. But people can listen on their phones or on their computers. On their blenders. I didn't know that was possible, but you can now, if you have a Speed Queen blender and you push Frappe, you can hear our show for an hour.
We get the Frappe button. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I took French in high school.
If you want the show to go faster, you go to the left on your buttons. If you want it to go a little slower, you go to the right. So you'll have that option. People can still call in. That won't change at all, or text in if they want.
Right. That's what's exciting. There'll be a different number. So we're doing terrestrial radio, and then we're going live to the stream at WGNplus.com. This all begins Monday, March 13th.
Correct.
Lucky 13.
Yeah. Yeah. So John is back and doing the show live from Chicago. I know in the last couple of years he's lived in Minnesota, but he'll
cold.
Be back. It's way too cold there. It's way too cold.
He's moving back here.
Yeah. And then Ian Punnett is coming back too, Wendy, I think. Is that true, Kevin? No? I'm wrong on that one. I thought Ian Punnett was also coming back.
He really is on ham radio now.
It's Don Vogel.
Don Vogel will be with us for a little while. And then the best of Wally.
For sure.
So
I hate going, head-to-head with Steve Bertrand.
Nobody wants to go head-to-head with Steve. That's something nobody wants.
See that smoke in your face?
Yes.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you. That's Steve.
But it's going to be weird when we're finished at noon and we say, okay, you can join us on WGNplus.com or you can stay here and listen to Steve Bertrand. It sounds bad.
Steve, we were doing
just options.
We were doing a practice crosstalk. Like, let's say it's an average day and we're closing out and then you come in and you say, you know, Wendy and I will go, well, Steve, who's coming up on the Wintrust business lunch? And you'll say,
We've got former Senator Peter Fitzgerald coming in.
I wouldn't listen to that.
Yeah.
Wendy and I will
don't say that on the air.
So you're going to make my crosstalks worse even.
Yes.
So that people tune into you guys online.
Yes.
I get that. My wife will do that.
You can counter him too. Oh, that's cool. We're going to have so and so on.
Yeah.
Right.
I just feel uncomfortable.
Well, you don't want to go. Steve's our friend, our coworker and friend, and it'll be strange to go up against him for an hour. Nobody wants that.
No, we do that on the air every day. We go up against him.
Right.
No, we're just two horses pulling the same train. That's the way I look at it.
Hello.
That's accurate.
Was that Michael McDonald?
No, that was Mr. Ed.
Oh. Christopher Cross?
No, that was Mr.
Ed. Okay.
Mr. Ed. So all this starts on March the 13th. Everyone will get an email. Don't worry. We'll
A blast?
You
doing the email blast?
There will be an e-blast sent out on
Hi
the
12th. Hi, guys. Bill Leff here.
Reminding you to tune in to Ham Radio tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Ham Radio.
I thought it was.
All right. I wish it was CB. You know, my whole life I wanted a CB radio, and my mom would not let me get one. I would find one at garage sales. I would, Mom, it's only $10. She's like, you're going to flirt with the truckers. Yeah,
that's part
of
the game. Yeah.
I want a handle. She never let
me
get
give
one.
That? That's not fair.
What would a Wendy handle be?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that should be a contest. Right. Boy, when we're on Ham Radio, we could make that a contest. People could call in.
Breaker, we got the...
What would your CB handle be?
I'm going to have to think about that. I never really gave it much thought because my mom forbid me to get a CB.
Yeah.
We got the sultry vixen on the line.
So, I bet it's something
like that.
Like that.
Yeah.
It would be something like that.
Yeah, as a 12-year-old, my voice was already this low.
All the truckers knew it.
Right. Right.
Is that Wendy out here? Woo! Is that the sultry vixen?
I think I would have gone with my, this is your sweet little Stucky log.
That wouldn't have worked.
Oh,
why?
That's upsetting.
They go to Stucky's.
I know, but
you know what,
I think that phrase has a different meaning.
Right, that's not the issue.
Didn't know the CB jargon, okay?
I'm pretty sure that phrase has another meaning.
I think that's not jargon, it's English.
It is. All right, we must take a break, and then when we come back, this sort of thing. All right, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, many people have texted us CB handles for you. This couldn't be more timely. The CB radio is taking the world by storm. You just explained that as a child, you wanted a CB radio very badly, but your mom would not give in to that.
Uh-uh. She thought I'd flirt with the truckers.
And
she knows me well.
She was right. 815 says, how about Windy Wendy? That's not bad. 847 says, hot and juicy Wendy.
Oh, like the hamburgers?
Yeah, I hope. 630 says, bad Mama Jamma.
I would have liked that. Mama Jamma. Mama Jamma?
Yeah. Like the song. There's a song like that. The Bad Mama Jamma song. My Girl Scouts.
That's a bad name.
My Girl Scout leader's handle was Cookie Pusher.
I like that.
Muffin Top from a longtime friend of yours, 773.
Why do you give this guy credit? He texts me every day.
Right. I know. Many of these, too pornographic for air. Those are probably the ones that you would choose.
Which ones?
Some of them came from the WGN newsroom, Steve. Also, a couple of people are asking, they're saying, I didn't finish the rest of the schedule. So it will be, as of March the 13th, us in our normal part one time slot, 10 to noon. Then you have the option of listening to Steve Bertrand's Business Lunch here on regular WGN radio, or we'll be on Ham Radio between noon and 1.
You know, I don't want to rule out the possibility of doing both.
You could do both.
Right?
You could definitely do both.
Can I just tell you, we had a lunch meeting with Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez. And we were trying to discuss what the best way was to do the crosstalk,
because
we didn't want to tell people to tune away from Steve, but we want people to listen to us too. And then Kevin, our producer, said, can we listen to the Wintrust Business Lunch while we're doing that noon hour?
Maybe you could do a running commentary.
We could do like Mystery Science Theater. We could listen to Bertrand and then comment on everything he's doing wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
All right. So then after Steve's done, it's noon to 1, the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve. Then John Williams, the return of John Williams from 1 to 3. And then Roe Show is on, as it normally would be. Roe and Anna will be in from 3 o'clock on.
For the whole rest of the night?
Into the, yeah. They've got a 12-hour.
So we got our hours reduced, and they got 10 more?
10 more hours added to their show.
That seems fair.
I guess. I don't know. It seems like a lot for them to do, but... And then everybody else is in their normal places, right? Justin's in his normal place. Patty's in the Nick's.
7 to 11 is right. Justin, then 11 to 2.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yes. That's Patty. And then Nick DiGilio.
Right.
And then Steve Grzanich. Should we just keep doing it over and over again?
The only change is Steve Grzanich's Cartoon Kingdom will be a half an hour later than it normally is. But he runs cartoons, old Out of the Inkwell cartoons, and that's fun to listen to. So
it's really cute to hear him describe them.
Right. Right. So that's a half an hour.
I would listen to that if I was up.
I would definitely listen to that if I was up.
I'm up, and I do listen to that.
Here's one. Phil writes in, texts in, Wendy, if you're still looking for a CB handle, how about Booty Shaker? Brian suggests Teddy Bear for you.
Why?
Because you're full of stuffing. Red Bomber. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 309 says, I was the Red Bomber.
See,
CB
I would have talked to you.
So you were just using it as a way to meet people in the trucking business.
Well, I just wanted to put it this way. I will talk to anyone who listens, and sometimes late at night there was no one to talk to.
Right.
So that's why I wanted a CB.
When they first came out, our next door neighbors had one, and what would happen is if we were watching TV, which we were, we would hear their entire CB conversation on our television set.
Like the baby monitor thing,
yeah,
where it came through the signal?
Yeah. And that happened for a year. Every single, and they were on their CB radio constantly, and all we heard was that. Like whatever
Breaker
show.
Breaker 1-9, there's a bear in the air. Did you hear that kind of thing?
It was that kind of talk. But like we said the other day when Mike Connors, Mannix died, my dad would just be watching TV going, I'm trying to watch Mannix, and all I hear is these guys next door, and they're a CB talk. You know, he couldn't watch Mannix. Very upsetting for him.
And you never went over and knocked.
Oh,
knock,
yeah,
knock.
They didn't care. They thought it was more important that they have CB conversations.
Well, I grew up along Route 57.
So you heard it constantly.
Just in the ditch on the east side of the interstate. Yeah. And, people, we had neighbors who had CBs, so
yep,
you'd get the truckers going by. People saying, how far to Wendy?
My mom, thankfully, knew better and did not get me one. Otherwise, I would have been the talk of the tri-state.
815 suggests, Wendy, that your name be the Sultry Wench. Which is, isn't that a bar you worked at for a while, the Sultry Wench?
Mm-hmm. I know that from Skyrim.
What is Skyrim? What is that?
Another computer game?
It's the same, yeah, the same line, just a different game.
How about this one? 773 suggests your CB handle be Cussin' Princess.
I like that.
That's not
but
bad.
Now, you guys, this is when I was 12. I wasn't like this then.
No, no, of course
How much
not.
Different were you?
Not much, but a little. A little. Just, I was 12. I didn't know that. Hey, I'm the one who said, it's kind of sounds like a car. It starts with a J, and I called the neighbor that.
Yeah.
And my mom washed my mouth out with soap.
Yeah.
Liquid Joy. It got in every nook and cranny. Most people got a bar of Ivory soap. No, I get the liquid.
Two different people have suggested your CB handle be Liquid Joy. How timely is that?
Okay, what's the next one?
Steve, there
that
the
could
good,
have many meanings.
The good
by the
ones,
way.
I know it can't. The good ones cannot be said on the air. The ones that I think you would most want, I can't even.
Just give me one.
I can't. Every one of these.
Do
is dangerous.
People still
Rhyme
have
it.
CBs?
Yeah, well, truckers still do.
Remember, for a while it wasn't a CB, but there was the intercom phone people would walk around with. The next,
oh,
next.
Yeah.
Oh, Nextel.
Nextel, yeah.
That was a big deal.
Oh, I never got one of those either.
But that didn't use a handle or a fake name, right?
No,
see, with
I don't
those,
think
you
so.
Use your own name.
Well, now we have Twitter with a handle and a fake name.
Yeah.
So I guess I got my handle, Snide Remarks.
Could also be used as a CB handle. There's
Wasn't
no reason.
That clever when I was
well,
12?
No, I guess not. All right. A break is about to be taken, and then when we come back, Steve with the news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You got to know when the whole.
You gotta know when to stop using Botox. That's all I'm gonna say.
Now you aimed that right at Kenny Rogers,
didn't
you?
I'm sorry. Does he even look like himself?
Kenny Rogers does not look like the Kenny Rogers that we knew.
He looks
knew.
Like Zsa Zsa Gabor with a beard.
Yeah. Is that bad? I don't think that's
bad. That's the look you're going for.
Kenny Rogers, it says here, and it's true, you just heard it, saying that a gambler needs to know when to hold 'em and when to fold 'em. If you'd never gambled, Wendy, you could just keep a lyric sheet from that song, and I think it's a nice primer for what to do when gambling, I think, don't you?
I'm not a good gambler, and you know me, I have no poker face.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I got two aces?
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that at a poker table.
I'm not good.
But Kenny Rogers forgot to mention that it's not a good idea to leave a casino to rob a bank or to come back to the casino after the robbery and continue gambling. Here's your story. Kerry Johnson made a tiny error in the summer, and now it's a sure bet that he, Kerry Johnson, will be serving between 5 to 18 years in prison. Here's what happened. The 52-year-old pleaded guilty to second-degree robbery on Wednesday for an August 2nd robbery of a bank in Charleston, West Virginia. This according to the Charleston Gazette Journal. Authorities said, now see if you can figure out where he made his mistake. This is a fun game to play. Pretend you're Kerry Johnson and see where he made his mistake.
All right, I love this.
Authorities said that Kerry Johnson was gambling at the Mardi Gras Casino in Nitro, I believe that's also in West Virginia, when he got up from the blackjack table and then put a $25 chip down to hold his spot. You see this a lot in casinos.
You can do that?
Yeah. If like, let's say you're at a blackjack table and you've had a nice run of luck and you say to yourself, well, I want to keep gambling here, but I need to go to the bathroom or I want to go to the bar. Or you can just put down a chip and sometimes you tell the dealer, sometimes you don't even need to.
But that'll hold your place at the table?
And I'll be honest, I even see guys, a lot of times people will even leave all their money, their chips there, which I would never do. If I was getting up somewhere, my chips go with me.
I know you'd make a lot of racket walking around with the chips in your pocket.
Yes.
But still, you can't leave them on the table.
I don't think so. But it's the weirdest thing. I've been at tables where guys leave hundreds, thousands of dollars in chips. Hey, I'll be back in a few minutes. All right, good luck.
Have you ever taken one?
No.
That's like me leaving my purse somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Even worse.
It's worse because all that money's on the table. I guess the feeling is there's cameras everywhere. So if somebody was going to steal, it would be recorded everywhere.
But what does the dealer care if someone stole your chips?
Maybe.
Hey, don't touch those. Those aren't yours.
Right. I put my name on them, on each chip. I have a like one of those label makers.
The Dymo machine?
Yeah, and I put it on each chip.
Wouldn't you put BL like you put on your mom put on your underpants?
On my underpants, yeah, same thing. Maybe I would just cover them with a pair of my underpants that said BL and save the time.
BL just sounds bad.
Well, why do you say that?
It just sounds like nothing you'd want on your underpants.
Well, those are my initials, Steve. I have no say in it. And all those underpants I bought at Bela Lugosi's garage sale, they still come in handy. All right, so that's what Kerry Johnson did. He's at this table. He's playing blackjack at the Mardi Gras Casino in Nitro, and he puts down a $25 chip, and then he gets up. Johnson then went to a bank and gave a note to the teller saying that he had a bomb and a weapon, according to the paper. Johnson left the bank with $5,000, only to go back to the casino and resume his blackjack game.
All right, well, he needed money. That was the quickest way to do it.
But they have ATMs.
He can't rob an ATM, Goof.
No, but if he needed more money to play
blackjack.
He didn't
have it. That's why he robbed a bank.
He was completely out of money.
Why else would you go? If you had an ATM card and you had $5,000 in your account, would you go to a bank and give them a note that says, I have a bomb and rob them? Or would you go to your ATM and get $5,000 out?
I would do ATM. I don't want to.
He didn't have the money.
I guess not.
He had a $25 chip left. That was probably
it. That was the end of the line for him. Johnson was arrested the next day after detectives received an anonymous note
that said, "I have a bomb."
Right. After searching his residence, investigators found a yellow legal pad matching paper used for the robbery note.
Have a legal pad? A yellow legal pad from Office Depot at your house.
No, that's true. But think about all the banks, like casinos, they've got cameras everywhere. Everywhere. Still, you couldn't get away. Aren't you amazed? Like, there's still bank robberies all the time.
Like yesterday.
All the time.
I know. And they're still looking for the perp.
If I was a robber of any kind, I would not rob banks. Would you?
I think I was talking to the FBI a couple weeks ago, and they said it's like their prosecution rate or arrest rate is like 75%.
I'm shocked it's not higher than that.
Well, me too. That's why.
It should be 99%.
It should be. You're right.
There are cameras. Even if you're wearing a mask, there should be. There's got to be some way to figure out, oh, a pair of shoes he wore.
Right.
This guy had a mask and a baseball cap. It's Bill Leff.
It's me, right? You'd turn me in. Anytime there's a bank robbery and one of the robbers has a baseball hat, you call the police and go, I think I know who did it. I know who did it.
I know you, and you would have that face mask on, and you would have your Walgreens reading glasses on over that.
Right. And my face mask would be one of the banana splits. So they go, Flegel robbed the bank. I know who did it.
I can't believe not more than 70% of bank robbers get caught.
Yeah, because there's cameras, and there's also, although my bank doesn't have a bank security guard, like in movies, it's always an old feeble guy. It's always old Wes who's, you know, on his last leg.
Hey, old Wes. Right. How the grandkids?
Right.
Right.
Well, I just have 3 more weeks before my pension. And then there's a bank robbery.
I don't go in banks as much as you do, but I've noticed security guards.
Pulls the gun out and his hands are shaking.
Right.
The gun.
Yeah. That's in every
and
movie.
And coffee.
Right. What's the movie with Jeff Bridges that was out a couple months ago?
Fabulous Baker Boy.
No, it's not Fabulous Baker Boy.
Hell
or High Water. You saw that, right?
I did not.
That's one of the best bank robbery movies of all time.
Really?
Bonnie and Clyde. I think that's
Bonnie
a good one.
Bonnie and Clyde's flawless. Bonnie and Clyde's a perfect movie. But it just shows, like, it's dangerous on all directions. When you're robbing a bank, I mean, who am I telling this to? If you're a bank robber, you know how dangerous this is. But it just there's so many things that could go wrong, you know?
Yeah. You could get shot and killed.
There's that. That would be the worst one, one of the worst ones.
Plus, you're not going to get away with it.
You get Canadian money instead.
That would be awful.
What would you do with it?
That
would
suck.
You'd have to bring it back.
They should just have bags filled with $2 bills and the silver dollars to give to people who rob banks.
Right.
Spell Sacagawea and we'll do it. We'll give it to you.
Right.
Because that would just be the...
Spell it.
So terrible. You rob a bank, you get this big bag of money, and it's all $2
Canadian
bills.
Canadian currency or $2 bills?
Because don't you hate when you get a $2 bill, and then you go to spend it, and the clerk looks at it and goes, really, could you give me some real money?
Yeah.
It is real money.
I know.
I love $2 bills.
Steve, but they're...
Really?
Yeah, and I love dollar coins. I want dollar coins back. I think we should just have dollar coins.
Instead of dollar bills?
That's
absolutely.
What the Tooth Fairy gave our house when the Tooth Fairy came. I don't know
you
what
got
he...
got a dollar
the Tooth
coin?
Fairy, is it a guy or a girl?
Girl.
The Tooth Fairy gave my boys some of those gold dollars.
And what was their reaction? They liked those?
Yeah, I think they thought it was a quarter. But, I mean, it was something special that only the Tooth Fairy could really
have. Wouldn't you rather
to.
Have 5 coins in your pocket than...
I love this joke.
No, I don't think this is a joke.
No.
Is it, Steve?
No.
You'd rather have 5 coins than a $5 bill?
No, than 5 singles.
We're not, no.
I'm all for the $5 bill.
No, because you can't fold coins.
Well, you can.
Well, Vin Diesel.
Superman.
You need heat. A lot of heat.
Right. So authorities then went to the house of Carrie Johnson, and they found the yellow legal pad. Which, again, bank robbers.
Go in our office. We would have gotten
I know,
arrested.
We got legal pads in there.
Don't use it for anything legal.
As well as the hat, similar to the one that he wore on the surveillance video. Detectives
that says
also
Breckenridge, Colorado on it.
That's my hat.
1859.
That's my hat. That's how much I paid
Why
for it.
Why do you have all caps that have B? To remind you, your name is Bill?
You know, I know you're kidding, but almost every hat I does have has a B on there. But I don't think it's to remind me what my name is. It's just a coincidence, I think. Detectives also found a large amount of money stuffed into Johnson's couch. That would be the red flag right there. The legal pad, kind of. The hat, a little bit. But I think the big pouch of money in the couch would be the one that I'd go guilty.
I only find quarters when I look in my couch cushions.
You haven't robbed a bank.
Oh.
They also recovered $500 of the stolen money from the same table where he had been playing blackjack. So he took them, obviously, this was his plan all along, of course, was to rob the bank and then immediately parlay that into more money at the blackjack table, but it didn't play out that way.
But see, had he won, then he could have returned the money to the bank and no one would have been in trouble.
Right. He could have said it was a loan.
Yeah.
You guys didn't realize it.
I didn't have time for the paperwork.
It's a short-term loan.
Could have ended happily.
At Wednesday's hearing, Johnson told the judge that he had taken a few drugs the day of the robbery.
That shocks me.
But recognized himself after seeing video from the bank.
Hey, that's me.
I know that guy. Where do I know that guy from?
That's my hat.
And my legal pad. That guy's pretending to be me.
He's
illegal pad.
Right, in this case. Johnson will learn how much time he will spend in prison when he is sentenced on March the 2nd.
They will write it on a yellow legal pad right. And hold it up and show him.
That's ironic. All right, we must take a break and then some more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. That's how Steve Bertrand got his start here at WGN. He was the All-State Kid of the Week on Steve Cochran's show.
1984.
What a year that was.
It was a big year.
What'd you do to win it?
I still am not at liberty to say that. I have to wait 5 more years.
Statute of limitations not in effect yet?
Then it'll be a really good story.
Hey, can we talk about Twitter for a minute? Because I know that there's a president of the United States that really is using Twitter to get his agenda out.
Yeah.
So really, what does he need Sean Spicer for, quite honestly?
Oh, all right.
I mean, seriously, yeah. He's Donald Trump is just relaying information as he wants put out when he does it by tweets.
Sure.
And it can get people in trouble sometimes. And here's what I mean. This was from the Patch newspapers, which hit the local neighborhoods here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is out of Peoria. A Peoria real estate firm is talking about a former agent by the name of Tony Brust. And it looks like he lost his job over something he put on Twitter.
Let me
tell you what happened. An Illinois real estate agent lashed out at comedian Patton Oswalt. And Patton Oswalt, if you follow him on Twitter, he's in a bunch of shows. He was on King of Queens. He does a voiceover on The Goldbergs.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's on that. He also has a running character on Veep. He's been in a bunch of movies. He's
really
the voice
busy.
Of Ratatouille.
I never saw that.
Yeah, he's the voice of Ratatouille.
I love him. I think he's great. He has been very vocal on Twitter lately against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So political craziness is making enemies of people. Here's what happened. Patton Oswalt took to Twitter on Monday night to defend Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, who was fired after refusing to defend President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So Patton Oswalt tweeted, like, this is what Trump is saying, because it says Trump, colon,
mm-hmm.
You leave this White House now. Sally Yates rides bus to city, becomes a taxi dancer, leads dance revolt against pimp, triumphs. Silly, whatever.
All right, yeah.
All right, that comment reportedly drew fire from a Peoria-based realtor named Tony Brust. In a since-deleted post, Brust allegedly responded to that tweet from Patton by saying, "Oh, bleep, the little troll has an opinion again."
Okay.
So he's attacking Patton Oswalt, but in a weird way, that's what happens on social media. You put something out there, someone disagrees, so they say something to you.
Yeah.
While others jumped in to defend the comedian, Brust reportedly then took a swipe at Oswalt's late wife, joking that he was a psychic, quote, channeling her opinion.
Oh.
Now, Patton Oswalt's wife, crime writer Michelle McNamara, died unexpectedly in April of 2016.
Yeah.
And her death left Patton a single father to the couple's 7-year-old daughter. The comedian has been really candid about his struggle with grief since his wife died. Brust's jab prompted outrage from Oswalt, who in a series of now-deleted tweets began mocking some of Brust's listings. He was personally crop-dusted by Tony Brust. He was just kind of making fun of Tony, like Tony took a shot at Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
By Tuesday morning, many of the tweets had been deleted, but Patton Oswalt explained why he felt the need to lash out. He just said, career advice, making fun of a guy's dead wife on a professional page is a rough look.
That's something Patton Oswalt
yes.
said? Okay.
So, turns out this guy, this realtor, Brust's Twitter account appeared to have been deleted on Tuesday morning, and his professional website was unavailable. If you
Tuesday
went to
morning today.
Yes.
Yeah.
This just happened.
Right.
According to Brust's LinkedIn page, he was a realtor for Jim Maloof Realty in Peoria, but the company on Tuesday said he no longer works there. An employee who answered the phone at the business Tuesday afternoon repeated that Brust is no longer with us, but hung up when asked if he was let go to this Twitter dust-up.
All right, so does that indicate that Patton Oswalt would have somehow gotten in touch with the realtor and said, hey, you got somebody working for you who's being really nasty on Twitter? Or is that the realtor themselves saying, we want to be proactive in this and not be represented by somebody?
Here's what the Jim Maloof realtor put on their Twitter page. The management, brokers, and staff of Jim Maloof Realtor regret the words of one of our former agents, which were posted on social media. We apologize for the resulting angst his words have caused. His words and views are not those shared by the company. And it turns out that he no longer works for them. So he was fired because of this little Twitter war with Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you, that's a great question. I didn't think that Patton...
Would he actively go to the office?
Well, now that I think about it and you've brought it up, if I was Patton Oswalt, I for sure would have. Just saying, do you realize that your guy is making fun of my dead wife?
Right.
But that's what I mean, even without Patton Oswalt contacting them.
Except how would he know? Like, does it say on a Twitter feed, it says the guy's name, obviously, but does it mention that he's a realtor at this particular real estate agency?
Well,
or
I didn't click on the guy's thing, but usually if you have a Twitter handle.
There's some profile.
Yeah, you click on it. Like for me, it's just at Wendy Snyder, and it will say works at WGN Radio.
Yeah.
Does not give my birth date because I don't want people to know how old I am.
Well, you use up too many characters.
How old are you? No, really, how old
Still
are you?
Still younger than you.
You think you are?
Yeah. When's your birthday, Bertrand?
I'm not getting into that.
Is it coming up?
No, it just recently passed.
Okay, well, mine's coming up next week, so.
Oh, okay, great.
I think we'll be the same age.
What day?
All right, anyway.
Now, I want to point something out, too. Jim Maloof, who you mentioned, the guy who is the real estate agent, or the owner
of the real estate, yeah.
Is also a politician himself. I don't know that he still is, but he was the mayor of Peoria for years and years and years. So maybe he's more sensitive having a background in politics, although when he was mayor, Twitter didn't exist, but maybe he's more sensitive to that kind of thing, having a background in politics himself.
Well, here's the thing. All I'm trying to throw out here is don't get engaged in a fight on Twitter or social media because, I mean, I'm sure WGN would be aware of tweets I make.
Sure. Yeah.
And if they're not, they should be.
Right. Right. I don't know how often a Twitter post has cost somebody a job, but look at our friend
careful.
Katie Rich over at Saturday Night Live. I think she would agree what seemed like an innocent post a week ago, and she's still suspended.
I didn't think it was an innocent post.
But in her mind, she was like, I'm just commenting on what's going
on. Right, I'm just writing a joke.
She wasn't trying to come up to the scrutiny of possibly losing her job. She was just thinking, I'm watching an event on TV, I'm going to post something about my thoughts
about
it. And
if she thought for a minute she'd lose her job for it, I'm sure she wouldn't have put that up there.
Right.
Steve Bertrand just tweeted that his birthday is Friday.
Oh.
I did not tweet that at all.
You're still older than I am. I thought he had an early February birthday.
Yeah.
I call him the groundhog. It's not on groundhog.
Vixen.
Oh, you guys. All right, a break, some news, more show.
Be careful what you tweet.
Be careful what you tweet is a good, that's good advice right there. More show coming your way next, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you for all your calls and texts throughout the day. We're at 312-981-7200. If you'd like to, at any point during the show, ask a question, make a comment, whatever you want, we're here for you.
All right, Bill, you know how everybody was mad at 2016 because of all the deaths that happened?
Absolutely.
I hate to say this, but I have a feeling it's going to keep happening because we're all getting a little older.
Right.
2017 has not started out so wonderfully.
No, we've already lost some big names. We're less than a month in. I guess the most notable, of course, is Mary Tyler Moore. That was a very sad one from
over
a week ago. And now over the weekend, two more big celebrities have passed away.
Can't forget about Mannix either. He died.
Mike Connors, right, also died.
I bet he hated that when people went Mannix, and I forgot his real name.
Well,
Mike Connors, I should have known.
It's probably a mixed blessing because for so many people, you hope you have some endearing character that everybody just remembers. But you're right. And a lot of times it eclipses your own personality. So I would imagine if Mike Connors were to ever just walk across the street, people would go, it's Maddox. They wouldn't even,
I know,
you know. So,
good thing you use Bill Leff on the radio and in real life.
Right. That's the reason I do that. It'll be easier. So now the first name I mention may not be a household name today, but for a long time she was. If I said Barbara Hale, would you know who that was?
Yes, she was an actress.
Yes.
Of some renown.
Most notably known for her work on Perry Mason.
That's right.
She was Della Street on Perry Mason for years and years and years, and 94 years old. But she's also, and this is like a little known fact about her, her son actually had a lot of prominence as an actor as well.
Alex Hale?
No.
From Gilligan's Island?
It's not. No, you're thinking of Alan Hale.
Oh, whatever. Sorry.
It is not Alan Hale.
Can't BS a BSer.
That's true. That's very true.
Who is her son?
Her son is William Catt from The Greatest American Hero and from Carrie. And a bunch of other...
With the blonde curly hair?
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
That's believe it or not. That is her son.
What's his name?
William Catt, or sometimes it is pronounced Cott, you know?
No, I don't know. How is it spelled?
K-A-T-T, but I've heard
who
people...
Who says Cott?
On all those like Access Hollywood shows. No, it's really weird because I always said Catt, but I've heard like, you know, Mario Lopez.
No,
I've heard,
I don't know.
You know Mario
Wish
Lopez.
I did.
He's the host of... Inside Show Business or something. He always says William Cott. And other, I've heard other people say Cott. So I will do whatever I, whenever I'm confused about something like that, I alternate and I will sometimes refer to him as William Catt and then other times William Cott.
Can I just tell you, William Cott is 65 years old if you want to feel old?
Is he really?
Yeah. And yes, his parents, Bill Williams and Barbara Hale. Don't know where he got William Cott from.
I'm not sure.
Pronounced Catt.
It's the year of the Cott, Wendy.
Thank you, Gail
Hal
Stewart.
You know that song.
1977.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's the year
Bertrand the DJ coming out.
The real
spinning
Steve
some
Bertrand.
Tunes, doing the cruise.
All right. So we lost her. Barbara Hale, 94 years old. Lovely woman. Great actress. Always good on Perry Mason. And then the other one, and this did get quite a bit of attention over the weekend, is the British actor John Hurt.
That is sad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they're all sad.
But I mean, I actually knew who he was.
Oh, then it's sadder, I guess.
I didn't know him personally.
But still.
What was he in again?
He is the father of William Cott.
No, he's not.
He's not. Nat. He would be most notably known for the scene in Alien. That's one of the most famous scenes in all of horror films when he thinks he's okay. He's getting a checkup from the doctor. And I guess we've all had this at some point. You're at the doctor and the doctor goes, yeah, everything seems to be in order. And then the alien just bursts out of his stomach.
Now you know what it's like to be pregnant.
Right. That scene was a wake-up call for men everywhere. That's childbirth.
That's it, baby.
John Hurt is the first man to experience true childbirth. But he was also in movies like V for Vendetta, The Elephant Man. He's in the film version of The Elephant Man. He was fantastic in that. He's been in like 80 movies over the years. He was such a great actor. So very sad to lose him as well.
Do we know his age?
I could look it up.
He was in his 70s, I think.
See, that's not old enough.
He was born in 1940. So 76 or 77. 76, yeah.
That is not old enough.
Born January 22nd, 1940. So he died right around his birthday. He just celebrated his 77th birthday. But a really good actor. Hellboy was one of his movies. I'm trying to think of what else people
I honestly
know.
Think that's what I know him from. That and Alien.
Well, that scene in Alien... is one of those scenes that if you didn't know who he was, I mean, that was such a wake-up scene. Like, that movie was filled with, you know, that was a very tense movie anyway, but in that one scene, that really, I mean, nobody was blinking during that scene.
No.
And the story is always that the actors in that scene didn't know what was coming. They had set it up. I don't want to ruin anything for anybody who hasn't seen it.
When did it come out?
Oh, 1979 or
yeah,
something
it's been
like
a while.
That. I guess you should have already seen Alien. But the story I've always heard is that the other actors in the room, Tom Skerritt and Sigourney Weaver and stuff like that, they knew that there was a scene, but they didn't know exactly what was happening.
Oh,
so they just
to get the real reaction.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. Another death in the news that I actually wanted to surprise you with yesterday, but we didn't get to it, and then you're fully aware of it. This name may not mean a lot to a lot of people. Masaya Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we play something, you'll know what he did. He was the father of Pac-Man.
Pac-Man's dad.
Well, not technically.
Now, I don't think... Here's the weird discrepancy.
Oh, there's Blinky, Inky, and Sue. Dinky, Inky, Blinky, and Sue.
Right. Yeah. The
ghosts. They're getting married.
Did you look at that as them getting married? I thought they were getting eaten. I don't know that he invented Pac-Man so much as he was the guy who ran the corporation, right? Namco? Is
he
that the name
founded
of that?
The Japanese video game company behind the hit creature goblin game, Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
Yes. Masaya Nakamura, the father of Pac-Man. He died at age 91. He died on January 22nd. He held an honorary position at Bandai Namco, formed in 2005 from a merger of two game companies. He founded Namco in 1955.
What could they have been doing in 1955? Because the advent of video games was two decades later. I wonder what they were producing back in the 50s.
That is a great question.
Because the industry just didn't exist until the 70s.
Its beginnings were humble, just two mechanical horses on the rooftop of a department store.
Oh, all right.
So that's what they did. Boy, that came a long way.
A real long way.
I mean, Pac-Man is not really that video enhanced, but...
Not by today's standards, but remember when it first came out, it was a miracle.
Because we were used to Pong.
Right, right.
And this was colorful.
Yeah.
And again, the marriage scene, there's that in Ms. Pac-Man.
I think in Ms. Pac-Man you had that.
Pac-Man, designed by video game maker Toru Iwatani, mm-hmm. went on sale in 1980.
Yeah, I guess so.
Guinness World Record.
Not the 70s. For some reason, I put that in the 70s in my head.
I thought so, too, but it says it went on sale in 1980. Guinness World Record has named it the world's most successful coin-operated arcade game.
Now, do you remember when it first came out? Although you could find it in a video game shaped console, for the most part, it was on a table.
A cocktail table.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Because you could put your drink there.
Right.
Seriously. And two people, you know, it was a great date night. You could sit across from each other.
Right. Didn't the screen wipe, like, if we were sitting across from each other and I was playing and it was facing me, then when it was your turn, didn't the screen just automatically shift to your side? It did, right?
Yeah, because otherwise that wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, right. Just play it upside down. It'll be easier.
Is that why you won against all your dates?
Yeah.
Here, you sit in this seat. Bandai Namco reported Nakamura's death on Monday, but would not comment on the cause of his death or other personal details, citing his family's wishes.
Oh, how about that? So that really is a major chapter. This guy and his company, without them, we wouldn't have the advancement of video games, for the better or worse.
Was that really the first video game?
No, the first one was Pong. A guy named Nolan Bushnell invented that.
Oh, my God.
What?
Only you would know that just off the top of your head. The Bushnell binocular guy?
No, separate.
Very popular name for people that are successful.
Right.
I was born a Bushnell. Oh, you're going to invent something.
But that one was also all tabletop. It wasn't shaped like the video games we know today. You always had it in like a lounge table. That's the way they built the original Pong games.
I thought it was just on your TV.
Well, Magnavox Odyssey brought it to television. They were the ones.
You're married?
Yes. Despite my vast knowledge of anything unimportant.
It's very cute,
Thank
actually.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So it came on a tabletop version before you could do it, the at-home version?
Yeah.
Did you have Pong?
Yeah, we had that first Magnavox Odyssey, and it came with, it was Pong, but then it also had 8 overlays that you would put on your screen, and then you could play tennis, which was really Pong on a tennis court, or you could play soccer, which was Pong on a soccer field.
It was the same thing.
Same game, but just with a...
There were different colors, though, weren't there?
No, it was always like shades of gray, but then the overlays were in color.
Oh, is that why you got into tennis?
Yeah, because of Pong tennis.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
This is your life, Bill.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, and then
the
there's
good
more
news,
show.
Can I just say the
good
news?
Yeah, the good news.
As we're talking about these deaths, Carol Channing celebrating a birthday today, 96 years old.
How about that?
There is some light at the end
light.
Of the tunnel.
All right, a quick break, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Great job, as always.
Well, thank you.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And please, Steve, don't feel offended that we're not asking you these questions. I brought this up earlier. And, of course, over the weekend, Donald Trump fired our attorney general. Was that who he fired? I don't have the information.
Acting attorney general. So the existing leaves with the change of administrations, and it's tradition that the deputy becomes acting attorney general until the new one is sworn in.
Okay, so
her, so short of a placeholder.
And her days were pretty much numbered, correct?
Yeah.
And so I just didn't know. I mean, I guess when I thought about it, and I brought this up to Steve earlier, the president can pretty much fire someone that he is in charge of. But
that's where we all got to know Donald Trump, for his ability to fire people like Gary Busey and John Lovitz. But now he's doing it on a much bigger scale.
Rod Blagojevich.
But, you know, there's something about these checks and balances that I thought had to happen, but I guess I'm wrong. So we bring in multi-Emmy winner Paul Lisnick to help us fill this out. You do Politics Tonight at 5:30 and 10 on CLTV, WGN-TV, and you have a new podcast as well, right, Paul?
Right, called Behind the Curtain on WGN Plus.
Very nice. Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so it's totally legal for a president to just fire someone like that.
Look, life is a game show, right? That's the way you probably want to look at this. And no, the bottom line is that there are certain positions appointed, guys, that are that work. You've heard the phrase, work at the pleasure of the president. And so the cabinet members, for example, work at the pleasure of the president. And so in this case, the acting attorney general worked at the pleasure of the president, appointed into that role by the Obama administration. But actually, initially, she was a Republican appointee, Bob Barr, back in Georgia many years ago. But anyway, yes, the president can fire her. Now, here's the thing. The Justice Department is separate and independent from the executive branch. So there are those who say, hey, if the Justice Department, you know, doesn't want to do what the president wants them to do, they should just leave. And that is one argument. But, of course, the Justice Department is also there to advise the president. And in this case, she had concerns about what this law was and what the executive order would do. She expressed them. But rather than sort of proceeding to have a conversation with the White House, everything unfolded as it did.
So the woman we're discussing is Sally Yates, correct?
Right.
All right. So in a case like this, Paul, where Sally Yates feels that her opinion differs from that of the president, is it or isn't it her job to just follow out, carry out his orders, whether or not she agrees with him or not? And I'm not siding with Donald Trump. I rarely do. But isn't that part of the job description to whatever he decides is the way to go,
well,
to go that way or not?
Well, again, he would say that.
Yeah.
But again, and I have to say, there's another credential probably relevant here, is that I train prosecutors in the Department of Justice. And I've been doing it for years and on a regular basis out at their training place. And so what I can tell you is that other than U.S. attorneys who are appointed politically, so to speak, that pretty much prosecutors, and she's a career prosecutor. She's been, I think, a prosecutor for like 27 years, almost 30 years. These are not partisan positions. You're not hired to work in the Justice Department because you're a Republican, you're a Democrat. You're hired because you want to be a prosecutor and you're trying to do justice and do the right thing. So my guess here is that she would not have been driven by the political component of this. She would have been driven by her view, whether you agree with her or not, whether she's right or not. She would have been driven by her view of the executive order and the problems she saw with it. Now, of course, you know, she's out and a new person is in until the actual attorney general gets confirmed. And that process is moving along today.
Would it have been different if Ms. Yates went to President Trump and said, listen, I am having a problem with this. I have issues with it, or... would that wouldn't have changed anything
either?
Well,
Wendy, arguably she did. I mean, she issued this statement where she said, I'm going to order this ban, so to speak, not to be followed until somebody can explain to me why it should be. My words, but that's essentially what it said. I think where this came to a head was because that memo, I'm assuming in addition to going to the White House, then was released publicly. And my understanding is it went public because the assumption was eventually it would leak. But it probably shouldn't have been public or gone public, probably before she was ordering other lawyers in the Justice Department to not follow it. There probably needed to be an urgent consultation with a member of the White House counsel's office to discuss it. Now, look, for all I know, Maybe she was ready to step out, didn't want to deal with it, and knew that was a quick way to get fired. I don't know. But clearly it brought the issue to a head. It came to a head one way or the other, and this was the likely result. Not surprised once I saw that memo that said, we're not going to enforce this, that her moments were numbered.
Let's talk about her future, Paul. If this was any other scenario, you would fear for her job. You'd think, oh, this could be career suicide to do this way. But in this scenario, is this the worst thing in the world to leave under these circumstances?
No, I don't think so. And by the way, it won't surprise me if other members of the Justice Department, you know, leave as a result, depending on their own family security issues and such. But you know, this is, look, she, you know, I'm not worried about her getting another job. You know, she's got almost 30 years as a prosecutor. And I think there's probably a lot of people who would be in a supervisor role who would want to know that if she had concerns about the constitutionality of something, some policy that they wanted her to carry out, that she would indeed question it and not just be a yes person about it.
Yeah.
Because they can find themselves in bigger, I mean, as there are, there's lawsuits getting filed and all sorts of things. You know, maybe with some discussion with her, there might have been, that was one of the other problems here. There was not a lot of discussion between the Trump administrators and the drafters of that executive order, and apparently a lot of other senior military people and legal people who might have been able to guide this in a different way, so the rollout played a little more smoothly than it did.
All right, and this evening we're going to see President Trump announce his Supreme Court pick during a primetime ceremony. Is this at 7 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be like The Bachelor.
It is?
He will give the justice a rose and say, I have chosen you.
Totally. Think about it. You know, we started off with 21. This is how the game show works. We started off with 21 names. That dwindled down to about four. The two that we'll mention, and then Judge William Pryor, he was on that list till almost a couple of days ago, maybe even until yesterday, who, by the way, would have been an interesting pick because he's the one who said Roe versus Wade, the abortion decision, was an abomination,
mm-hmm.
and wanted the court to strike it down. He's the one that said the Lawrence versus Texas case that recognized same-sex activity between same-sex individuals. He said that shouldn't be allowed. But then he sort of upset the right when he ruled in favor of a transgendered woman who said she was being fired for being transgendered. So both sides of the coin. Anyway, he appears to be out. A woman named Diane Sykes, who sits on the Seventh Circuit in Illinois, she was on that list for a very long time. But it's now come down to two men, and the reason we know this is because one of them went to Washington last night and the other one has been on his way there today. So even there, Trump keeps the dynamics going because will it be Judge Neil Gorsuch from Colorado? Will it be Judge Thomas Hardiman who comes from the Third Circuit? Which of them will be there? Both in Washington. So therefore, like I said, one gets the rose and the other one, I guess, just has to leave the island.
How dramatically different are those two guys?
Well, they're not dramatically different. They're both conservatives. Hardiman is more of a working class guy. He was director, president of Big Brothers Big Sisters in Pittsburgh. He drove a taxi to get through law school, but he's a solid conservative. Gorsuch actually is probably the most like Scalia. He's a brilliant writer. Scalia, whether you agreed with him or not, was a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
Very much like that. He clerked for a couple of Supreme Court justices himself. Gorsuch did, Justice Kennedy, Justice Byron White. So he's got a PhD from Oxford. So, you know, sterling credentials. So they're both good, solid choices. Democrats will have a tough time keeping either one of them out. By the way, if you're going to put your money on one of them,
yeah,
it might be Thomas Hardiman.
Because why?
Well, because who else sits on his bench? This is a trivia question. Not trivia, but do you know who else sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit?
I don't.
How does Trump make his decisions? Who does he listen to?
That would be Bannon.
Steve Bannon.
Yeah, well, think about family members, right?
Oh, his daughter?
Ivanka? Sitting on that bench is Marianne Trump Barry, his sister.
Interesting.
And Sister Trump likes Thomas Hardiman, has supported Thomas Hardiman, and so my guess is, all things being equal, the president could, we'll see, but he could go in that direction because of his sister's
Sister
work.
Trump is my favorite Night Ranger song of all time, Paul.
She's motoring.
I guess she is.
And maybe she's the one that presents the rose. I don't know how this works. And she comes in a black robe. This could be emotional.
So the next few times that we need Supreme Court justices, we can expect them going kind of to the right, huh? Conservative?
Well, Bill, you don't even have to think about the next few times. Just think of the next time. The reason this one is not going to be tough is because this is not going to change the balance of the court. Justice Scalia, very, very conservative. He's going to be replaced by conservative justice. And so Democrats will fight. They will scream. But they're not going to bet all their cookies on this one because you're not changing the balance of the court. Now, next up, there are nobody may retire in a Trump presidency. We have no idea. Nobody knows. But I mean, listen, Scalia wasn't that old either, right?
No.
But Justice Ginsburg turning 84 in March. one of the most liberal justices, if she should decide to retire,
yeah,
now all heck breaks loose. Because now you get another conservative justice replacing a liberal.
The balance shifts.
That changes the balance of the court, not for a week, but for a generation.
Yeah.
That will be bloody murder. Now, that being said, if that should happen before 2018 elections, there's pretty much nothing the Democrats can ever do to stop it. Because it's the last appointment left where you need 60 votes.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but the Democrats can filibuster a Supreme Court pick. Mitch McConnell has said if they start doing that, he's going to do what's called invoking the nuclear option, which is to essentially get that number changed so that it becomes 50, which is what Harry Reid did before. He invoked the nuclear option so that Obama could get his judicial picks through, but he didn't put it on the Supreme Court. It's the last one they held out on. McConnell says he'll go there. So that, I mean, I just can't tell you the political upheaval that would create. In 2018, the only thing that could change is, depending on how the world goes, Democrats, if they took control of the Senate that year, it will not be easy for them to do because most seats up are Democrats trying to defend their seats. Then a reverse Senate would force a President Trump to be more moderate in his selection.
Interesting.
As, by the way, as Obama was when he picked Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, Merrick Garland is no liberal lion, you know.
Right.
I mean, he was a moderate left to of center, but he was very moderate, very acceptable to the right, except that Mitch McConnell decided to roll the dice and just say, let's see what happens. And he happened to win the bet.
And how old are these two possible Supreme Court justices?
Neil Gorsuch is 49. Tom Hardiman, I don't know his exact age, but it's late 40s, early 50s. They're both young guys. They changed the court for a generation. There's the days of appointing the 90-year-olds onto the court who can serve a week and a half is over. Everybody wants, and this, you know, goes way back, for everybody now wants 50-year-olds on there because, you know, they can be on there for 30, 40 years. And, you know, and you're really impacting a generation. I mean, and people say, this, you know, is Roe versus Wade, is this stuff in the balance? Yeah, it is. Not with this pick, but
the
one more.
Pick.
And it's in the balance. Listen, if you support Roe versus Wade getting overturned or gay marriage being overturned or something, okay, then you'll be happy. But if you're not happy about those kinds of things, then these are very, very important decisions.
Paul, in addition to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, though, you've got a couple of other Supreme Court judges that are up into their 80s.
Yeah.
So you're going to see, I hate to be a numbers guy here, but you're probably going to see three judges replaced in the next 10 to 15 years, right?
Well, you might, but if you go out 10 years, I mean, the question is does Trump get two terms? Is Trump replaced by a Democrat? So, sure, you will get justices retiring over the next. I mean, it always happens.
Yeah, right.
Obama had a chance to, in his 8 years, put two justices on the court, and it should have been three. And I'll be blunt, but that's not a partisan statement. You know, the Scalia died with 10 months left
right.
in the president's term. And I just think, and I speak as somebody who teaches constitutional law, as a lawyer, not the political end of me, it was just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The president had a right to make that appointment. He was president. And that whole notion of there's only 10 months left and that's not the way things work. I'm sorry, that was just not right.
Right. I know. What company, think of if you had a Fortune 500 company and a major component of your company was out, who would say, well, let's just go 10 months and then we'll find somebody to be the CEO? It just wouldn't happen.
Well, imagine if George Bush had been president when that happened and he had 10 months to go. Would Mitch McConnell have said, nah, I'm sorry, Mr. President, too late. Let's see who wins the next
right.
one. No, absolutely not.
Right.
And in fact, I love the fact that McConnell said the other day he hopes that the Senate Democrats treat the Trump nominees just as we treated the Obama nominees. Did you forget about Merrick Garland? Of
right.
course, he didn't mean Merrick Garland. Because as far as McConnell's concerned, that one doesn't even count. That Obama wasn't
entitled was terrible,
to make
that
nomination.
That was terrible, quite honestly. That it they was, didn't even entertain the fact of
they wouldn't even
Merrick,
interview him.
I know.
McConnell wouldn't even sit with him. And,
right.
And again, but this shows the power. Democrats couldn't do anything about it. So Elizabeth Warren can scream and Al Franken can scream and they can yell, but they don't have the numbers to stop anything. But you know what, guys? As you know, elections have consequences. And what happened in November was Republicans were given solid control of the Senate and solid control of the House. They lost a few seats, but still solid control. And they were given the White House. And so, you know, this is what happens. These are the consequences of elections.
Do you think Merrick Garland will be watching tonight at 7?
Well, actually, he probably is. He'll probably
yeah.
Be wondering what's going on, but I'm sure in some respect he's sitting. You know, Merrick Garland was from our area,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
he went
Skokie,
to, yeah, Niles
right?
West, and I knew his sister,
Judy
Heidi,
Garland.
And his mom, Shirley, was president of the school board, so yeah, it was
but
all
he
for,
didn't know Trump's sister. That's the difference.
That's
that was the
key.
Thing. He needed to sit on the Mary Ann Trump Berry. That's... Sister Trump is maybe the
gotta watch her. Paul, thanks so much.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure. It's always fun to be with you guys.
Oh, thank you. We love having you.
You should come here to the TV station and do it here one day.
We'll you want to?
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right.
I don't want to look stupid on TV. Just on the radio is enough for me.
I love it.
The new podcast on WGN Plus is
called... It's Behind the Curtain. The next one launches. It launches every Thursday. I just taped one earlier this afternoon talking about, of course, politics. I get to do politics and theater on the podcast.
Nice.
So Todd Manley and everybody's been real nice to me by letting me kind of explore my other passions.
Excellent.
Great.
You deserve it. And then politics tonight, I don't want to leave that out.
CLTV 5:30 repeats at 10 o'clock every weeknight. I appreciate that. And, of course, WGN News watchers know they see me on pretty much these days every single newscast we have. Because
it's been busy.
Every time I go to sleep, I wake up to another tweet. And back
how about
we
that?
We all have questions now, Paul.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. It's
Thank
Paul Luznik, everybody. We'll take a quick break and then close out the show, find out what Ro and Anna have in a little while as well. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, so that about does it for us. We are going to take a quick break. We are going to find out what Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantes have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you mention when the schedule changes on March 13th, Monday, that we will be working 10 to noon? Then where do we go at noon?
Well, normally we take a nap. It's just a little bit of nap time. And then an hour after that, we usually come back for the second half of the show.
That belongs to John Williams now.
John Williams, as of the 13th of March, will have that time slot. But you can still hear us on the ham radio, and that's from noon to 1.
Right. So technically we will be on, we'll be streaming WGNplus.com.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to Steve Bertrand.
Yeah. Now, does this affect our CLTV audience at
all,
Wendy?
We don't have that. Every other show is broadcast on CLTV except us.
Oh, I didn't realize that. What about our Nickelodeon feed? Will that in any way change our Nickelodeon feed?
Do you know, I would kill for that to have us in cartoon form. It
wouldn't be dramatically different from our real life
We'd
form.
We'd be brighter,
yeah.
More colorful.
Yeah, more contrast in the color. That's about it.
Oh, I can't wait. Are they going to do our ham radio hour?
Yeah, I think they're in discussions now. So we'll see what happens. All that takes place on the 13th of March. So you still have 6 weeks to adjust and to write your alderman.
But what will remain constant is Steve Cochran in the morning and Ro Khan with Anna DeVlantes coming up next here on 720 WGN.